Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
And today is Tuesday, February 11th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, Philadelphia police describe a deadly double shooting inside a West Oak Lane home as a domestic situation gone bad. Crime scene unit investigators were called around 12:45 a.m. Tuesday to a home in the 2000 block of East Walnut Lane between Cedar Park and Forest Avenues. Arriving officers found a man sitting in a chair in the basement near two bodies. The man admitted to shooting and killing two of his family members, ages 60 and 84, according to investigators. They believe the accused shooter, a man in his 60s, called 911 after committing the crime. Police aren't ready to say how the three men are related and said they're working to confirm the exact relation. Police aren't saying if they believe mental illness was involved or if there was some sort of argument that took place. Investigators said that they found at least two weapons inside the home. President Donald Trump traveled Monday to Dover Air Force Base in Delaware to pay respects to two U.S. soldiers killed Saturday in Afghanistan when a soldier dressed in an Afghan Army uniform opened fire with a machine gun. The Defense Department identified the dead American soldiers as 28-year-old Sergeant Javier Jaguar Gutierrez and 28-year-old Sergeant Antonio Ray Rodriguez. Six other American soldiers were wounded in the attack. Trump saluted, and Vice President Mike Pence placed his hand over the heart as transfer cases containing the remains were carried out of the C-17 military plane and transferred to a transport vehicle. As Trump and Pence stood on the tarmac in the falling mist, a woman among the mourners broke free of efforts to hold her back and ran towards the plane. She threw herself on its ramp, crying and screaming as mourners and an official tried to restrain her. She wailed as the doors to the transfer vehicle closed. Trump and Pence, who had traveled from a rally in New Hampshire, also met with families before taking part in what is known in the military as a dignified transfer. National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien told reporters traveling with Trump aboard Air Force One that the president had wrapped up a re-election campaign rally in New Hampshire early so that he could be with the families. O'Brien described such moments as possibly the toughest thing he does as a president, along with visiting wounded soldiers at Walter Reed National Military Medical Center.
When a soldier or a veteran passes away, do they still all come through Dover?
I believe so. Yeah.
They were all of the bodies that when they would return to the States, that's where they would be, I guess, sorted before being returned to their families.
And that's where they all still come through there.
I believe so. Yeah.
UPS is expanding in Pennsylvania and bringing 1,700 full-time jobs to the area. Nice. The shipping company announced a $1.4 billion commitment to the state, creating a new super hub in Harrisburg and three sorting and distribution centers. One of those sites is planned for the Old Bud plant on Red Line Road in Northeast Philadelphia. UPS is grateful for the strong relationship we continue to build with the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. We are excited to bring new jobs to Pennsylvania, and we are committed to engaging in the communities where we are expanding our operations, said Juan Perez, UPS Chief Information and Engineering Officer.
Did you see that, Kathy? They credited my Amazon purchases for allowing those 17,000 extra positions.
Yeah. Listen, my UPS driver pulled over the other day and said, asked me what was going on because, you know, I did no shopping January and bled into February.
Okay?
He goes, have you gone to FedEx? What's going on here?
Right. Yeah. He's traumatized for Christ's sake.
Wow.
Yeah. The facility will feature automated scanning, sorting, and conveyor technology to improve delivery time. But 1,700 full-time jobs UPS is bringing to Pennsylvania. Yeah, it is great. All right, in sports this morning.
Ball sacks are good.
The Flyers beat the Florida Panthers last night in South Philly.
Yeah.
Carter Hart allowed a goal on Florida's first shot and then proceeded to stop the next 30 as the Flyers rebounded for a 4-1 win. Ivan Provorov, James Van Riemsdyk, and Travis Sanheim scored the first three games, and Claude Giroux finished off the scoring with an empty netter. The Flyers are on the road tonight with a game in Brooklyn against the Islanders, and the puck drops at 7 o'clock. The Sixers, who were off last night, returned to the hard court tonight with a game at home against the LA Clippers. After losing four games in a row on the road, the Sixers have returned home to win two straight and move up to fifth place in the Eastern Conference standings. The Clippers are one of the best teams in the West and in third place in the conference with only 3.5 games behind their crosstown rivals, the Lakers, for first. Tip-off is set for 7 o'clock, and that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. We have ourselves a Tuesday morning laid out before us, and one of the things we do on Tuesdays is offer you a chance to get some ink, courtesy of our friends at famous, world-famous Philadelphia Eddie's Tattoo. A Preston and Steve tattoo could be yours. It's a $350 gift certificate, and you can get a pretty damn decent tattoo for $350. So text word tattoo to 39333, and by the end of the show today, we will choose a winner. And you could get tattooed by the area's top tattoo artists like Zach Beltran. And you can see his work on Instagram at, it's Kutch Beltran. I'll spell it. It's K-U-T-C-H-B-E-L-T-R-A-N. Or at PhiladelphiaEddiesTattoo.com.
So we were talking last week about that Amazon Prime show.
Yes.
That's All or Nothing about the Philadelphia Eagles.
Right.
Well, dude's getting a tattoo in like episode 2 or 3 or something like that, and he's getting it done at Philadelphia Eddies.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Nice. All comes together. We also have joining us today in the studio, director and actor, we have Tom McCarthy, who is here. And a young man named Winslow Fegley, and they are from the show or the film Timmy Failure, Mistakes Were Made, which is available now on Disney Plus. I watched the trailer for it. Looks like it's a lot of fun.
It looks great.
The kid is hilarious.
He's great.
And so they're going to be stopping by in the 9 o'clock hour today. So that should be pretty cool. We also have a chance for you to win $500, and that is with our Watch, Listen, and Win. Dr. Oz, if you watched yesterday's show, we will have a question about it today. We'll try to get that around 9:30 or so. We have a $500 Amex gift card that could be yours. And speaking of giveaways, right now, at this very moment, caller number 10 gets a $50 Acme gift card.
Oh,
nice. Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because they are set for Valentine's Day. And if you've got to order your flowers or you don't want to spend crazy money at the last minute, let Acme help you out. They have a full-time floral department for custom-made arrangements and premium bouquets. And we'll give you that gift card right now if you're caller number 10 at 215-263-WMMR. And I got several of these to give away.
Nice.
During the course of the show today. Just Acme reminding you that they can handle what you're looking for Valentine's
Day. They have romance.
Yes, they do. All right. Speaking of romance, we are trying to make a turn in some people's lives. On Friday, we are going to have some people here in our studio that have never kissed another human being in their life.
It's wild to think about that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And if you're interested, if you're an adult, and for one reason or another, the moment has passed you by, or you're too intimidated, or did this crazy world just doesn't allow you the time or place to do it, we can facilitate that.
We're your lifeline.
And all you have to do is email Marissa, our love connection here at the Preston and Steve Show. Marissa at WMMR.com. And you have to be free to come by here Friday morning. I spoke to a gentleman who will be our kisser of ladies.
I know who this gentleman is. And I think that's a good pairing.
Can I kiss him? He is so handsome.
He is a good-looking guy. Maybe you can.
Okay.
We'll work on that. And just email us, and it can be something fun that we'll do. And you never know. This might be the moment you've been looking for. This might turn it all around.
Preston, it could start up what'll be the most regrettable weekend of your life.
That too.
Yeah.
That too. You should consider that.
But you'll have a great Friday.
Either way. So we're going to take a break, come back in just a second. The entertainment report is indeed on the way. A stupid question with some more giveaways. Make sure you stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, thanks, guys. So, stupid question this morning. We have a chance for you to win a pair of movie tickets from Fandango. And we're continuing with some Black History questions through the month of February, courtesy of our friend Craig Ligons from the Comic Book Gurus podcast, which you can hear through WMMR.com. And we've mentioned this before, but I like this. Who played synthesizer on Stevie Nicks' hit song, Stand Back? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer to that. All right.
I was just listening to that, Preston.
Who played synthesizer on Stevie Nicks' hit song Stand Back? Call right now, and let's see if you can get that correct. I'll go through some birthdays while we're waiting for your answer. Today is Tuesday, February 11th, and we will lead with Mr. Mike Shinoda of Linkin Park, who is celebrating his 43rd birthday today. Co-vocalist.
Yeah.
With,
co-songwriter, too, right?
Chester Bennington. You know what? I've never looked into who all writes those songs. I would assume he has a hand in that, but he's more, it says MC/vocalist. So
okay.
They both did a little bit of that, but he's celebrating his 43rd birthday today, so happy birthday to Mike Shinoda. It's also Jennifer Aniston's birthday today. Jennifer Aniston turns 51 years old, so we celebrate that, and she's doing just fine.
Yeah, she got the morning show on Apple Plus, right? And she just, I think, won a SAG Award for
that show.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep, and she's looking great, and
I mean, they were set many times over because of the financial deal they made when they were doing Friends. They all kept parity salary-wise, and so they were, you know.
Yeah.
And then they also got a great deal for syndication.
Yeah. So 51 for her today.
She can't find love, though, Preston. That's the issue.
She's trying, man. Yeah. She's, you know, she's had a few stumbles along the way, but we'll see. We'll see what life holds.
Maybe she can come in on Friday.
That'd be nice. Yeah. We're free. Yeah. Yeah. For her first kiss. Be nice. What if we had Jennifer Aniston was your first kiss?
Would that be amazing?
Oh, my God.
Would that not be amazing?
It'd be incredible. Or Natalie Dormer. It's her birthday today, too.
Love her.
She's 38 years old today. Yeah, she had. She was a big part of Game of Thrones. She had a bit part in Captain America, the First Avenger. She's this very sultry soldier that kisses Captain America, Steve Rogers, and but she's had some other films as well.
We had her on the show to promote that horror movie about that the forest in Japan where everyone goes to commit suicide.
Correct.
She's really good.
She's also in a commercial with George Clooney
for.
I was like, was that her?
What is it? Nescafe? What is it?
Nespresso.
Nespresso.
Yeah. Yeah. But she has this wild little lopsided smile kind of thing.
It works.
It's gorgeous. It works.
Yes. Well, so we were talking to Rob McElhenney yesterday, and there's a character on his show. Her name's Poppy. She does the same thing.
Oh, really?
Oh, my gosh.
She's cute.
Just adorable.
Natalie is 38 today. We also have, let's see, Taylor Lautner from the Twilight movies.
Now, you were Team Taylor, right?
Of course I was. He usually had his shirt off, so yes.
He was rumored to be, by the way, Preston, one of Bryan Singer's, the director's, I think the term is, that's used in the article, a twink.
Oh, you know, really?
That's sort of how he got his way into acting. It's not verified, but that's in this extensive article that came out about all that sexual stuff going on with Bryan
Singer. I
don't
like to think about that stuff. I just like to think about Sharkboy.
Sharkboy.
Oh, yeah.
Sharkboy and Lava Girl.
You know what? That's a fun movie.
It is a fun movie.
Is that the
movie.
One Stallone's in?
No.
Stallone's in Spy Kids.
Yes.
He's in one of
the Spy Kids movies, yeah.
You guys ever seen, like, Grown Ups 2?
Yes.
I have not. All right, so he plays this, like, meathead frat boy in it, and they're, like, about to, like, get in a fight with Adam Sandler and all those guys, and for some reason, he's just doing, like, he's trying to intimidate them, so he's just doing backflips for, like, no reason.
All right.
So you haven't, all right.
It's
so
a brilliant comedy.
No, actually, it's terrible, but, like, people my age love it for some reason.
I know, because it's a family thing.
I do need to see, I never saw either one of those films. I do need to see those. So.
Yeah, you can probably watch, just see other ones.
Okay, it's basically Dolores Claiborne.
Oh, well, then I've seen it. Taylor Lautner celebrates his 28th birthday today. We're watching the video clip now of him getting ready to do backflips. I can see it another time. It is Damian Lewis. Damian, it's his birthday, and he is from the show
Billions and Billions and Billions and Billions and Billions and Billions.
How many seasons for Billions now? Is it two, I think?
No. Oh, God, no. It's like six.
Really?
Yeah, five or six.
It's been out for a while.
I didn't know that.
You saw him most recently as Steve McQueen in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
He looks so much like him.
He did a good job.
That scene where
the
Playboy Mansion. So.
Billions and Billions. And billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions.
And Homeland as well. So he's celebrating his 49th birthday today. Tina Louise.
Oh, my God.
We actually had her on the show for this little indie movie that she was doing. It was just a couple of years ago. She's 86 years old now.
Have we seen a recent picture of her at 86?
I did. Not at 86, but at about 84 when we spoke to her. I saw the clip of her in the movie, and she is, you know, she's an elderly woman, but yeah. She looks great for her 80s. She looks fantastic.
I think she hasn't done too much work. I think she kind of looks like the Crypt Keeper.
Kind of like it, yeah.
No, she looks good. For 86, she's doing great.
Yeah. So happy 86 to Tina Louise. Jeb Bush, former governor of Florida, brother of George W. Bush.
My name is Bush.
Name's Bush.
You know when the next Bush leaves?
Vote for Bush.
The whole Bush family. A vote for Bush is a vote for mass transit.
Yeah, Jeb is 67 today.
He is now quite competitive in the world of parkour.
I did not know that.
Wow. I like to see that. Another
Republican candidate, Sarah Palin, celebrates her birthday today. She and Jeb have the same birthday. Sarah is a big deal, and she is 56 years old.
Super big deal. Now she's going through a divorce deal.
Oh, is she going through a divorce deal?
Husband, a revolver or stone or doorknob or whatever the husband's name is. He actually served her with divorce paper.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the last birthday, Sheryl Crow, the singer and songwriter.
I love her.
She turns 58 years old today. There was a time where I had a bit of a crush on Sheryl Crow.
I saw her. She did the Willie Nelson traveling tour.
Two years ago, three years ago,
and she was great. It was still an awesome show, and she still sounds great as well.
I don't know if you remember Preston. She was in like tremendous shape.
Yes.
She had rocking.
Most definitely. And she has, as my friend Marilyn says, the gift, because she could sing, play, write, do every bit of it.
Do you know who she played with for the longest time? Michael Jackson's band.
Yeah, she was a backup singer.
Yeah.
And she was, so at the time, she's from St. Louis. So when Michael Jackson, when she came through town as a backup singer, it was kind of a big deal. It was a big deal.
Big deal.
that this local musician had made it to Michael's band. Little did anybody know she was going to go on to have a tremendous success on her own. So she celebrates her 58th birthday today, Sheryl Crow. All right, we'll see if we can get an answer to the stupid question this morning. Who played synthesizer on Stevie Nicks' hit song Stand Back? 215-263-WMMR, the number. And I am going to go to Tim for the answer. Hey, Tim.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good, Tim. Who played synthesizer on Stand Back with Stevie Nicks?
That would be Prince.
It's Prince.
Wow.
Yeah. Exactly. Tim, hang on the line. We're going to get your information. Marissa Magnata wants his pointing. Is this the music?
Billion.
No, that's billions.
I have it.
What do you want me to do? Oh, you got the music. Okay, thank you. So since you got that right, Tim, hang on the line. We're going to give you a pair of...
Billions and billions and billions.
A pair of movie tickets from Fandango. Everybody loves a trip to the movies.
The Billions remix.
Don't get stuck in line for a sold-out show on Valentine's Day. Reserve your seats with Fandango now and feel the love. Head to Fandango.com/get tickets. And Stevie had loved Prince. I forgot which song it was particularly that inspired her to write this song with that synthesizer.
I bet you know what it is. What? No, it came after I Would Die For You, but that came after
this. No, it's Little Red Corvette.
Little Red Corvette?
Oh, yeah, okay. She was driving up to Santa Barbara. This is something I know off the top of my head.
Oh,
yeah.
Right, of course you don't.
But she heard this song come on.
But it does have that sound of...
It does.
From I Would Die For You. Sorry, I was just beatboxing there for a moment.
I love it.
All right, so anyhow, we move on with some of the entertainment stuff. So Vanessa Bryant took to Instagram to open up about the loss of Kobe and her 13-year-old daughter, Gianna. She said, "I have been reluctant to put my feelings into words. My brain refuses to accept that both Kobe and Gigi are gone. I can't process both at the same time. It's like I'm trying to process Kobe being gone, but my body refuses to accept my Gigi will never come back to me. It feels wrong."
That's a massive chunk of your life that just disappears.
Yes. She said, "Why should I be able to wake up another day when my baby girl isn't able to have that opportunity? I'm so mad. She had so much life to live. Then I realized I need to be strong and be here for my three daughters. Mad I'm not with Kobe and Gigi, but thankful I'm here with Natalia, Bianca, and Capri."
Had they made the deal that they were not going to, they would not ever fly in the same helicopter together? That was something they had done.
Yeah.
Isn't that wild?
Exactly. And
There you go.
There you go. Yeah. It's terrible to say, but the plan kind of, you know,
worked.
Helped keep the family, you know, in some part alive. She added, I know what I am feeling is normal. It's part of the grieving process. I just wanted to share in case there's anyone out there that's experienced a loss like this. God, I wish they were here and this nightmare would be over. She ended her heartbreaking post with praying for all the victims of this horrible tragedy. Please continue to pray for all. So sad news. Speaking of Kobe, social media users are voicing their support for Gayle King now, who has recently received death threats in light of a recent interview with former WNBA champion Lisa Leslie. In the interview, King asked if the rape allegations against Kobe complicate the legacy of the NBA legend or whether the entire situation should be left in the past. Leslie responded by saying that it did not complicate his legacy at all, and apparently many fans agree. After the interview, many criticized King for bringing up the issue, including Snoop Dogg. Of course, we talked about that. Since the interview, King has said that her words were taken out of context. Longtime friend Oprah Winfrey said that King had received death threats. We covered that yesterday. In response, many have gone onto social media using the I Stand With Gayle hashtag to voice their support for King, because there was an I Stand With Snoop.
Yeah, so now they're batting. They have decided that they're going to do it this way, Preston. They're going to tie both Snoop Dogg and Gayle King, going to tie their left hands together, and then their right hands, they're going to hold switchblades.
Okay. Oh.
And then they're going to fight a la the Michael Jackson video.
Yeah, beat it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep, I agree.
That's good.
A lot of things should be settled via beat it style.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. So anyhow, that is now happening. All right, I have some Oscar recap. We obviously covered some of the stuff yesterday, a few of the red carpet things and some of the, you know, obviously all of the awards. But let's talk about some of the other things. First of all, the ratings were down. Sunday night's Oscar ceremony marks an all-time low.
Wow.
With only 23.6 million viewers, down around 6 million from last year. However, the Oscars was still the most watched entertainment program, topping the Grammy Awards and the Golden Globes. So it still does well, you know, but year to year, viewership was still markedly down.
Mm.
So there's a few different reasons why. And, you know, some of the movies, there weren't that many big movies that were blockbusters.
True.
That were in the running.
That
so,
does help. But more people watch that Instagram video of you dancing, Preston, than watch the Oscars.
Me dancing?
Yeah, yeah. You know, the, what do they call it? The with the backpack?
The floss?
The floss, yeah, yeah.
That's right.
And that's a bad indictment of
I agree.
The award shows.
Listen, I know a lot of people don't watch the Oscars because of politics. And, you know, and I've talked to a few people, and usually it's, you know, more conservative people won't watch it because it's a, you know, Hollywood liberal and all right. that sort of stuff. And I know, you know, I know people on both sides of it, but I know that that's a big thing.
I watched every second of it
because it's my job. It wasn't that bad, was it?
It was okay. Here's what happened, though, and I think this might be curious to see how this played out. The first speech up was political.
Mm-hmm.
And so people got, I'm going to try it. I'm going to dip my toe in the water and see how it's going to go. Yeah. And I wonder what the tune-out factor was after Brad Pitt's acceptance speech.
I mean,
it all depends on who you are, because there was an animated short about ethnic hair that won.
Yeah.
And the guy got up and accepted, and he mentioned something. And here's my son going, ooh, I wonder what that is. And he looked up the information about what's called the Crown Act.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it got him interested in it. So I'm like, okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know?
By the way, that hair is now available for free on YouTube if you want to watch it. I watched it yesterday. It's 8 minutes long. It's great.
Excellent.
Yeah. Nice. So
it looked cool.
If you're interested in seeing it, it's an interesting look into a world I had very little knowledge about.
And then, you know, Joaquin Phoenix, I thought, delivered a really, really thoughtful, nice speech. But, you know, people were like,
who's awake?
People are pissed off about that. They're like, you know how much water it takes to grow one almond?
The milk stuff?
Yeah.
Is this going to surprise you? Is it going to surprise you that people are agitated about this?
Oh, man.
That's why I don't look at what other people say about those things
anymore. Exactly.
And I'm happier for it. Yeah. I form my own opinion, and I try not to, you know, listen to other people, how they make noise about it. Anyway, I'm going to move on to some more frivolous things.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's get frivolous. Get frivolous on our
hearts
asses.
Hearts broke across the country Sunday when Leonardo showed up with his girlfriend, Camila Morone.
Why?
The first romantic date he has brought to an award show in 15 years.
Oh, wow.
Years.
Who is this,
her name is Camila Morone.
Okay.
He usually brings his mom, does he not?
No, I think he goes by himself.
Yeah, the last being Gisele Bündchen, his then-girlfriend in 2005. When the two didn't pose for photos on the red carpet, they were seen laughing and getting along. While the two didn't pose for photos on the red carpet, they were seen laughing and getting along throughout the night, sitting prominently in the... And the first row, I do want to point out, because Janelle Monáe came out and she was singing. She was trying to get the audience to sing, and she was putting the microphone in some front of the celebrities' faces. And I don't know what the line was, but when it was like, la, 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 or something like that, and Leonardo's like, la, 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 he did not want to be part
I
of that.
I despise
at all.
When you are there and the people on stage come in and try to get you going. And I know it's
get
says
you to
a lot
sing
of,
and stuff. Yeah.
I'm here to watch. I don't want to do this. Exactly. I don't want to. Okay, Rum Tum Tucker, go to someone else.
Marone, who is significantly younger, 22 years old, has been dating the actor since 2017. She has commented on the age gap, telling the Los Angeles Times that there's so many relationships around Hollywood. And
I don't care. Have you seen how much money he has?
And in the history of the world, where people have had large age gaps, I just think anyone should be able to date who they want to date.
So, that's really a big thing to say.
Yeah.
So. I'd make it work, too.
She's very courageous, Kathy, that she's able to put up with that.
She's a strong 22-year-old.
Let's see. Also, in the world of the Oscars, even though Jennifer Lopez didn't get a nomination for her role in Hustlers, she still stole the show at the after party.
Oh, did she ever?
She donned a plunging neckline and super high slit.
Look at my vagina.
Hitting the town with hubby A-Rod. Her slit was super high.
Absolutely.
And her neckline was plunging, apparently.
I think there's a rip in your dress. Oh, no, that's my vagina. Goes all the way up to mid-stomach.
And then one other thing. This is pretty funny. Even though Keanu Reeves brought his mother as his date to the Oscars, the presence of ageism has sucked him back into another social media frenzy because fans seem to have mistaken his mother for his girlfriend, Alexander Grant, who's only 47 years old.
Oh, man.
But she has silver hair.
Yeah.
And so everybody thought that was his girlfriend, and it was actually his mom.
You know why? Because in Hollywood, he's performing one of the major sins. He's dating someone within 7 to 8 years of his own age.
Right.
And people, older. They can't fathom it.
Yep, exactly. So those were a couple of the outside things that happened via the Oscars. Other stuff, YouTube recently released a new documentary series called Justin Bieber Seasons about the recent events in the singer's life. Not only did it set an initial record for the most expensive exclusive content deal, but it just set another. It is YouTube's most viewed premiere. Made 32.5 million viewers.
So this him and his battle with Lyme disease?
Lyme disease? I don't know. It's just called Justin Bieber Seasons. So
Seasons I guess he's of Bieber.
He's had a few things happen recently. He's kind of turned his life around. He's gotten more spiritual. He's had the, you know, Lyme disease and so on. So I don't know if it just covers one or two of those things or what, but
I saw a picture online yesterday of him, and I don't know how recent the picture was, but he looked bad. I mean, he looked like Jiminy Cricket from
Pinocchio.
No, Cricket from It's Always Sunny. What's that guy's name?
Cricket. Was he wearing a top hat and carrying a tiny little cane?
He was not. You guys, do you watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Yeah, but the guy goes by Jiminy Cricket.
It's Cricket.
It's Cricket.
It's a playoff of Jiminy Cricket.
Okay, so you said Jiminy Cricket.
I know
immediately
what I said.
Thought of the animated character, the beloved Disney character.
I'm trying
when
to.
Wish upon a star.
You look like Donald Duck.
Yeah. Let's move on.
We're moving on now.
He looks like Steamboat Willie.
Let's see. Presley Gerber, the son of supermodel Cindy Crawford, took to Instagram Live in order to clear up his reasons for getting a tattoo on his cheek.
Hey, guys. I want to let you know I wrote it a word on my face.
Which he has received backlash for. And I've not seen it. I've just read this story. That's it. And the only thing I have is a quote from him that says, if I thought it was going to ruin my face, I wouldn't have done it.
Really?
Well, that's how stupid he is. What is the word that he... It's one word, and it's...
What, the word on his face?
Yeah.
Misunderstood.
Misunderstood, right. So it's under his eye, on high up on his cheek. It's a thin line, but it's still stupid. He's a male model, as is his sister, Kaya Gerber. And I don't know why you would do that.
You're a model.
Yeah.
And you've just...
Ruined your career.
Just ruined exactly your product. Oh, my God.
Now, he has tattoos.
He's got a lot of tattoos.
He has no tattoos on his face.
He's got some on his neck.
Yeah.
All over his hands.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Okay, whatever.
You can judge. It's all right.
Your face. Don't do it. If you get something, a statement or whatever, it happens to be slightly regrettable, you can always, always find a way to make that less conspicuous.
Yes.
But when it's on your face, short of wearing...
It's hard.
Short of wearing a mask, it's always going
to
be there.
You have to use like a fake Nick beard to cover all that.
Yeah.
And in the post, I guess he posted a photo and the caption just said, "Sorry, Mom."
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you see Amber Rose? Amber Rose has a tattoo along the top part of her, highest part of her forehead.
Her hairline?
Yeah. Okay. So her head's always shaved, and it's sort of calligraphy. It looks lovely. But what are you going to do with that? I couldn't even read what it said, but it's big.
Okay.
I'm sort of coming around on face tattoos.
You going to get one?
No, I would never get one. But
I will give you $100.
$100?
If you get a Jiminy Cricket tattoo in the middle of your forehead.
Rickety Cricket, by the way. I was drawing a blank. It's Rickety Cricket.
There it is, Preston. It's up on the screen here in the studios. That's...
So you are coming around on face tattoos.
I wouldn't want any of my children to. Listen, if you're... I met these guys at the tattoo convention, right?
They were the coolest guys. They were smoking cigarettes.
They were smoking cigarettes.
And they were wearing leather.
I was like, wow, man, can you blow smoke rings? One guy, and they listen to the show. Their guy's name is Dave.
Yeah.
He's got a D that's kind of like tattooed into his beard line.
For Dave?
For Dave. And
I could see why you're coming around.
Listen, he and his buddy, they both like concrete. They're both just... big.
They are like concrete.
It's not that they actually like concrete.
Oh, I said
they both like concrete.
They're fans of concrete. Saccharine, and various gravel.
What did he say?
Lay concrete.
I thought you said like.
I thought
they both like concrete.
A huge fan of cement.
Big fans of concrete.
Asphalt, they're big fans
just
of
love it. No, yeah, yeah, no.
Metamorphic and sedimentary and yeah. So okay, so
what does that have to do with it anyway?
Because. Listen, they lay concrete for a living. What the hell does it matter if they, you know, like
right.
they face tattoos or whatever? They're not your lawyer, you know? They're not a judge on the bench or where, you know, somebody that you would not want to have face tattoos.
If someone wants to do it, that's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
In this case, we're questioning a male model whose livelihood depends on his looks getting a word tattooed on his face that will always have to be attended to whenever he does something.
Sure, but he already has tattoos on his neck as well. I mean, clearly it's not that big of a deal.
Here's an argument for you for why it's a bad idea, okay? Yeah. So in human interaction, and when you start to meet someone for the first time, whatever the scenario may be, you engage in eye contact, in facial reading of emotions and things like that.
Yeah.
If you have stuff written or placed on your face, it's a distraction from that. And I think it's a lack of being able to communicate effectively. Now, if it's a lifelong friend and you're used to seeing that all the time, certainly. But I think just for basic communication, you may want to stay away from a face tattoo.
Well, there's a case to be made also. You look at a guy like Post Malone,
mm-hmm.
who I've come around on.
I like him.
And that's his thing now.
His
got
signature.
It. He's not a male model.
Right.
He got a recent one that's a... Do you see the new one? It looks like a spinning saw blade big on his cheek that's like cutting through his cheek.
And it still looks ridiculous on his face.
It's kind of weird, you know? It's distracting.
But what about like a giant mole on somebody's face? You going to tell them to get that removed because it's distracting?
If possible, yes.
Yes.
Very distracting when we talk to you.
Yes.
Can you get that removed?
I have a Facebook page.
And take your friend with the face tattoo.
You don't like that.
There's a great line from Uncle Buck where he goes, "Why don't you go down to the sump dump and have a rat gnaw that thing off your face?" A woman's got a big mole on her face.
Moly, moly, moly,
moly, moly. All right, well, anyhow, we're moving on. I have other stories for you. Just when you thought the college admissions scandal was dying down, new legal filings are bringing it right back into the spotlight. The fake athletic profile for Olivia J. Gianulli, daughter of Lori Loughlin, has been released and details the specific inaccuracies that were used to help Gianulli gain entrance to the popular University of Southern California. Some claims in the falsified document created by scam mastermind Rick Singer include statements that Gianulli has, quote, been successful in both men's and women's boats, and that she is skilled in awareness, organization, direction, and steering. The profile also claims that she has won 2 gold medals and participated in noteworthy regattas.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. Good for her.
She won all those medals and never once sat in the boat.
Not once. Her mother and father have been charged with 3 counts of conspiracy. So those were some of the claims that were in there.
And she meddled in taekwondo, too, Preston.
Sure, wouldn't doubt it. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle attended an event in Miami Thursday and made their first public appearance together since stepping down from their royal duties. Buckingham Palace said that Harry did indeed deliver a speech at J.P. Morgan event held at one hotel in South Beach. The so-called Alternative Investment Summit was attended by billionaires. Billions. during his address, Harry told those gathered that he has been in therapy for the past 3 years over his mother, Princess Diana's death.
What was the lecture about? What was the talk about?
That's a good question.
By the way, I've been in therapy for quite a long while.
Right. Is that what we're here to?
I thought this was a business thing. Yeah.
So
I lay back on a couch.
He spoke about mental health and how he has been in therapy for the past few years to try to overcome the trauma of losing his mother. He talked about how the events of his childhood affected him and that he has been talking to a mental health professional. He also touched on Megxit, saying while it has been very difficult on him and Meghan, he does not regret their decision to step down as senior royals because he wants to protect his family. And he does not want Meghan and their son Archie to go through what he did as a child. I don't know what the topic of conversation was supposed to be, but
I don't know.
He ended up going
face down, tattoos, probably
going down that.
Here's where I stand on face tattoos. Let's say if you were into concrete and wanted to get a large letter D on your beard line, I'd be totally down with that.
18-year-old daughter of Dwayne The Rock Johnson has signed with the WWE.
Wow.
And began training at its performance center.
That's 4 generations.
Yeah.
Because his dad just passed away, a week or two ago, and his grandfather was a wrestler as well.
I didn't know his grandfather did.
Yeah.
His grandmother was Sergeant Slaughter.
That's not true. You're making that up.
No, that's a fact. Simone Johnson will represent a 4th generation of wrestling in her family, follows in the footsteps of not only her father, but also her grandfather, Rocky Johnson.
Did you see his eulogy for his dad?
No. It was
wonderful. And he was up there and they were showing footage of them wrestling together. And it was terrific.
Yeah. So not only her grandfather, Rocky Johnson, but great grandfather, High Chief Peter Mavia. That's who it was.
Yeah. Yeah. And Gum Gum Sergeant Slaughter.
Both of whom are in the WWE Hall of Fame. Yep. So she's going to be a wrestler. Yep. All right. And then one last thing. This isn't really celebrity oriented, but I thought it was pretty cool and does have its ties in Hollywood, therefore in the trash. A man in Wisconsin who has been collecting Indiana Jones memorabilia for more than 35 years had a custom home built to house all of his items. Michael Miller says that he started collecting at age 14, and his first item was the collector's edition VHS of Raiders of the Lost Ark. Then, 3 decades later, he had a custom home built in Wilson, Sheboygan County.
Sheboygan?
To hold all the treasures he's collected. The home's Indiana Jones room features a 19-foot ceiling, special stud work for stability, custom-made curio cabinets, and special environmental controls for temperature and humidity.
There's a show on MeTV, Preston, that I really enjoy. It's called Collector's Corner.
Okay.
And it's all these people. And so Blair from the Facts of Life, Lisa Welchel, is the host.
Oh, yeah?
And if it's something you're into, even if it's not, if the guy's pretty engaging, but sometimes they'll have these guys who just do these intense searches for these things, and they'll have an appraiser stand there. And there was one about 2 weeks ago where the guy's sure this collection's worth a lot.
Oh, no.
And the guy's, I paid $100 for this back in 1965. And how much do you think it's worth? It's probably in that range now.
Yeah.
Like it had nothing appreciated.
Yeah. Well,
like,
it didn't depreciate.
Literally everything was, literally everything was the same. You see, like, and at the end, well, I had hoped it would actually be a little bit more worthwhile, but I guess I wasted my life.
Dude, I went, so I'm cleaning out my house, and I wanted to finally get rid of my X-Men comic book collection because it was just taking up so much space, and I don't read them anymore. My kids don't read them, and so I'm like, all right, I need to go. And so I went to my local comic shop, and the guy that worked there, Jason, he's rifling through everything, and you know, like every 50 ones, he'd pull out one and go, all right, you might want to hang on to that. Blah, 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 blah. He's going to this, and he gets done with all of them. You know, I've got hundreds of them.
Right.
And he goes, I can put these in my dollar bin, probably. So,
wow.
Yeah, yeah. He goes, probably best to just give them to somebody you know. And I was like, aw.
Oh, yeah. Man. So you go in there with the mindset.
At the time when I bought them, it just wasn't a pop. It was, they just weren't considered collectible. I mean, you know.
Did you have a dollar figure, just a ballpark dollar figure when you walked in and what you thought you might be offered?
Yeah, a couple $100.
Okay.
Something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
$20 is all I would have gotten for pretty much all of them.
That's basically what happened with this dude. He had a whole bunch of stuff. It's like, oh my God.
So I gave him all the Nick Murphy. I'm like, here, you got a young son. He's into genre stuff. See if he likes them. So he went after him. By the way, this guy said his collection is dedicated to Harrison Ford and that he won't collect any items for future Indiana Jones films unless Harrison is involved in them. But he had a whole house created just for his memorabilia.
He's supposed to be in Indiana Jones 5, which comes out next year, or is tentatively going to come out next year.
Okay.
Harrison Ford.
The Blue Emu. Search for the Blue Emu.
Yeah. I mean, Spielberg's attached to it.
We've heard of a bird called the Blue Emu. Its sweat can relieve joint pain.
But,
yeah,
it doesn't stink.
It does not stink.
Well, then how am I going to find it?
That's right. All right.
Your bloodhounds won't work on this trip, Dr. Jones. Because it doesn't stink.
All right, we're ready for clips. Here we go. Bravo's Vanderpump Rules doesn't hold back when it's time to show the cutthroat environment of the restaurant business. In this clip,
Is that what it's about?
Yeah, I didn't know.
I had no idea.
In this clip, Stassi Schroeder reveals the current status of her and her former friend, Kristen Doat's relationship. Here we go.
I don't really think it's a secret that we're not doing well. I love her. I'll always love her. I think we're both hoping that, you know, we get to a point where we understand each other. But right now, it's not the best.
New episode of Vanderpump Rules airs tonight, 9 o'clock. That is on Bravo. Here's the next clip. Mixed Dish explores how life can be different for children growing up in a family of mixed races. In this clip, Christina Anthony explains why her character, Aunt Denise, is important to the show. Here we go.
She's developing as a character as I'm developing as an actress. You know when Denise comes in the room. She's not afraid to be there. She's not afraid to voice her opinion. And I think that's something that really is needed, especially for the children, to be able to look to this strong female lead and a strong black woman who's raising them, who's also childless.
Holy no way!
I probably said that incorrect. Should be Aunt Denise.
Aunt.
Most likely.
Yes.
Aunt. A new episode of Mixed Dish airs at 9 tonight, and that is on ABC.
It's part of the Ish series.
Are there
a couple
Black-ish
of Ish?
Yes.
Schoolish, or what, the one where she's away at college?
I don't know. There's so many damn shows, I can't keep track.
It's too much. And then there's Cuttin-ish about the Jewish family.
Oh.
Yeah. It's wild.
I have, by the way, a $50 Acme gift card. We'll take caller number 12 at 215-263-WMMR. Of course, a Valentine's Day on Friday. Acme makes it easy to impress that special someone. Don't forget the sweets for your sweetheart. You can find Valentine message cookie cakes, cupcakes, and fresh dip chocolate-covered strawberries all at your local Acme. So they want to get the word out. If you need to get your provisions for Valentine's Day, you got to head to your local Acme. Caller number 12, giving you a $50 gift card, 215-263-WMMR. That is the number. We are going to take a break. We have actor and director Tom McCarthy and actor Winslow Fegley, who are going to be here in our studio from Timmy Failure, Mistakes Were Made on Disney Plus, stopping by later on. Chance to win some cash with our friend Dr. Oz and more. We'll be back in just a moment.
And Steve Show podcast.
Wait, turn up the sound.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Thanks, Kath. Interesting little factoid about the state of Pennsylvania. Did you know it is the only state in the entire nation that does not allow local police departments to use speed radar?
Yes.
The only state in the entire country.
I didn't know it was the only state, but I knew we weren't allowed.
Yeah.
Didn't allow local police districts to use radar.
I was when I first moved here over 25 years ago, I was shocked to find that out, because in Missouri oh my God, do they use the radar? The local police, yeah, like crazy.
So
you
like
gotta
I've
watch.
Seen, like, I feel like I've seen them though.
No, they sit, but state, they don't have the actual
have
radar
the
gun.
Yeah,
state troopers, yes.
State
not...
troopers, yes.
Oh,
state
okay.
police do.
So Pennsylvania State Police can use
yeah.
the gun. Okay, all right.
Yeah,
all right.
This is local police.
Okay, so that's what
departments
it's, all
right, do not use radar. So in your neighborhood,
they can't use.
They're
it.
Not going to. They're not going to be using the radar, which is interesting because I see police sitting in spots
yes.
that are local in my community, specifically in front of my daughter's middle school. There's a cop that sits, you know, because school zones they're very rigid on.
Absolutely.
And I will see, you know, a cop sitting there almost every day waiting to get people. I'm like, how do they get them?
Well, it's a speed trap. There's two lines and they time them between
the
lines.
Yeah, they're pacing. They're not pacing, but they use a stopwatch, I guess.
I assume it's a stopwatch.
Yeah, if you ever look on their dashboard, there's an abacus.
Oh, okay.
They flip through those?
Yeah.
But yeah, I always found that amazing that we're the only state that does not use it. Now, there is a new bill that could change that.
How much is it?
No, it's...
I misunderstood.
You don't have to pay anything.
We're already paying a lot here.
Municipal police departments across the state are pressured to engage in traffic enforcement, but officers said that they have their hands tied when it comes to speeding drivers. A bill being introduced in the state house would allow local police officers to use radar. Police officers say they support the bill. Most of the people who are opposed to it are concerned that collecting money would be a motivating factor for officers. You know, people believe in these quotas that they
have. Yes,
yeah. Uh-huh. However, the current bill puts a limit on the amount of money municipal departments can collect through speed enforcement.
Well, I don't know. So up in New York, it's my understanding, and it seemed to be, that the local police did have radar. They'd be, you know, you'd be driving along, and sure, you'd see them sitting there, and it looked like a radar gun, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
Yeah. So, and it was quite frequent. I always remember those radar guns, though, and seeing the cops equipped thusly in areas where there was a traffic issue, where there was a, you know, like near a school or something where it was obviously an issue. But I never, you know, it didn't seem like it was like a big revenue grab.
And, you know, speaking of speed limits and so on, let me get your guys' take on this. So if you're on a road that has a 40-mile-an-hour speed limit.
Yes.
And, you know, you're doing 45 miles an hour, whatever.
Yeah.
And someone gets behind you and starts tailgating you. That's out of line, right? Yeah. I mean, I'm already going over the speed limit.
Yeah, I agree.
If, you know, I never get that from somebody. I'm like, what do you want out of me? You want me to do 60 miles an hour? You know what I mean?
So let me ask you, if you're on a road that is 40 miles an hour, are you doing 45 or are you doing closer to 50?
45.
Okay.
I mean, roughly, I don't know. It depends on, you know, some streets that are 40 miles an hour actually do have residential. They have houses that have driveways that come out to
right.
them, which is wild to me. I'm like,
yep.
I can't imagine pulling out of your driveway.
You got to do like a J turn to get out of your driveway.
And so when it's roads like that, yeah, man, I'll back off and I'll try to do the speed limit because of that. But if they're fairly rural and wide open, yeah, I'll do 45, 50 miles an hour. But I don't think you ought to get on my ass.
No, and you, it's
if I'm already going over the speed limit.
Yeah. You're already doing more. It pisses me off. And I know where you're going to get that a lot if you ever go down Lancaster. So I'll go. I figure 10 miles an hour above is a grace speed. I think most police officers we've had on air said that's kind of the way that they look at it. But if you're doing that and then Preston, they're right up on your ass. I agree. It drives me crazy.
So, Preston, I got a text from a friend who's a police officer, a local police officer, not a state officer, a state cop. And he says, to put it delicately, it's effing bullcrap. It's very difficult to run speed in a lot of places, and collecting money is bullcrap, too. He said most of the time the money that is earned from tickets is completely washed out with the OT paid for the officer to have to go to court to fight this.
Oh.
So any money that they're made, they lose anyway.
Nothing.
And so local police officers would very much be in favor of a radar system.
So yeah. More people fight it than just pay it?
I guess enough people fight it so that
he's saying it washes it off. A regular ticket, not a radar ticket, right?
Correct, yeah.
All right.
And by the way, technically, if you go 1 mile over the limit, you can get a ticket. Yeah. I mean, that's a limit.
Is that the law?
Well, the word is limit. That means that's as high right. as you can go. Oh, yeah.
Do we know how the law itself is written, though? Is there an accommodated grace?
I forget. But
no, I don't think so. No. I've always understood that by the letter of the law.
But no points.
So if you if you're going 5 miles an hour to 10, like it's 1 point, and I'm not, this isn't accurate, so don't quote me on it, but that's how it worked. That you could get a ticket for going over the speed limit, but you're not going to get any points on your record unless it's in between like 5 and 10 or 10 and 15, et cetera.
And most officers have their own self-imposed sort of threshold, right?
Sure.
So like some it might be one, right? Oh, God, I would hate to go back. Yeah, no, it might be, but some people are 5, 6, 11, you know?
Where my buddy Steve lives in Missouri, he's like, when you drive from this spot to this spot, he's like, A, there's always a cop there. B, you go 1 mile over the limit, they will get you. Make sure that you are paying attention.
Do you know where that happens? Right out here. So if you right in front of the building, if you go down.
Really?
As you get off City Line and come up Presidential, you know, the curve.
Yeah.
Around the building that looks like it's some sort of Asian influence on it or whatever. You pass by that building. That whole street, and it says strictly enforced. I've seen people pulled over for going 30 miles an hour. It's 25 miles an hour.
All right, so I think they call that building the Pagoda, by the way.
The Pagoda.
The same cop just texted me and said, Preston, you're incorrect, that it's 6 miles an hour over and for state police and 10 for local cops.
That they are not allowed to pull you over?
This is from a cop.
That's pretty stupid.
Well, probably
why
because...
Why have a limit? Why use the word limit?
It's probably because it is... easier to not harder to fight in court. Do you know what I mean? Like, I would think a judge would be less inclined to throw out something that was like 10 miles over the speed limit rather than
I think you set a limit understanding a grace.
And they ought to put that on the sign.
Yeah.
Limit with the grace period with a grace speed of 5 miles an hour.
Right, but you have to put something up there.
I've heard this
before. Or else you put up a sign that says 25 to 35 miles an hour.
5, you're fine. 10, you're mine. And I've heard cops say that in the past. So if you're going 5 miles an hour over, you're not going to get pulled over. But 10, you're in trouble.
Wow. Okay. Well, maybe it varies from state to state. I don't know, because I was told by police when I grew up that you go 1 mile and over, we can technically pull you over.
In New York, it was always if the glove doesn't fit, you must have quit.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Mm-hmm. There's a street near my house that is, there's a threshold where it's 45 and then it becomes 35. And the problem is, where it's 35 is you're going downhill.
I hate that.
So you have to ride. And it's a straightaway. I mean, it's a road that, for all intents and purposes, should be a 50-mile-per-hour road. But, so you just have to ride, and there's, you always see cops there. And you have to ride the brake, and you're like, is this a 35-mile-per-hour cop, or is this a 40 cop, you know?
They should post on the side of your car, I'm a 40-mile-an-hour cop.
Yeah.
It says, cop here in New Jersey, I can pull you for 1 mile an hour, 1 mile an hour over. Mm. Will I? No.
Right.
So, there you go.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe it depends on.
I have been pulled over for 1 mile an hour over. I was pulled over in Nebraska for going 66 miles an hour in a 65 mile an hour zone. And I happened to have something on my car at that point, rental plates.
Uh-huh.
So they knew I wasn't going to come back and fight it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. They can get you.
Is part of the problem with radar that it can be inaccurate?
Yes.
So I think
if they're microwaving a burrito.
No, I think that's always been sort of the argument against it is that the equipment is quote unquote inaccurate and that therefore you can fight it.
Well, when you fight it in court, you usually fight it and find out when it was last calibrated.
Right.
Yeah. I've never done it because I'm always guilty and I sell drugs.
Also, if you're doing the stopwatch and the
that'd be less reliable, even think.
Right?
Yeah. I don't know.
Can you just use like a regular BB gun? Would that give you an accurate?
How do you do that?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
See, you're got the mind of a lawyer.
Let me go to, I have Barry, who's a local police officer. Hi, Barry. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, what's up, Barry?
Hey, so I'm a local cop. I'm not going to say where we're at. But I think what most cops get after is when they're pulling people over, it's for the safety of the community and not necessarily like 1 mile an hour over.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think it depends on, you know, like a day like today, how rainy it is. And at this time with kids walking around, if someone's driving a little recklessly, then that gives the cop more of a reason to pull someone over.
Sure.
Barry, I've seen, and you're right, because like, and just this morning, that was what you're saying is completely validated. If you ever go down Lincoln Drive, there's a section of the road that where the concrete has been taken out so much they've made the whole thing bright orange because people take it too fast. They come screaming down the road,
And so you see that. And a lot of the times when I see someone pulled over, it's because of overtly dickish driving. You know, I sometimes I'll see people going above the speed limit, but, you know, it's usually that case. And so for you, that's really what sets you off when you pull someone over, correct?
Yeah, like, especially, like, for kids and stuff like that. Like, it's so dangerous with kids running around for school buses out in the suburbs and stuff like that. Like, that's my biggest thing.
Yeah, a lot of times, so Preston, I like to sell weapons, across state lines.
Sure, yes.
But you got to be safe.
You got to do this.
You got all these ammo and explosives in your car. If you get into a crash, it's going to be a problem.
Barry, it says here on my screen that Roosevelt Boulevard is going to be getting radar.
The news was putting out something that they're getting speed cameras, kind of like how DC has them.
Yeah, speed cameras.
Good idea.
That gets rid of the whole discretion thing. They just see license plate, speed, and then boom, you get ticket.
Right, exactly.
So there is a part along Roosevelt Boulevard where you go into the bridge, one of the bridges, and then you see the speed readouts. You see them?
Oh yeah,
yeah. They're all over.
Well,
the
place. And the speed limit on the boulevard itself changes all the time. So it's 55, and maybe it's never 55 on the boulevard, but it's 45 in stretches.
Wasn't it AAA? You reported AAA reported a stretch of Roosevelt as one of the most dangerous.
Oh, yeah. Year
it comes back. Fatalities in the country.
It's one of the most dangerous.
Yeah.
By the way, a lot of people are pointing out that one of the reasons that that they need to give you a leeway in the speed is because not all speedometers are 100% accurate.
Right. Huh.
Not radar guns, but your own speedometer. I had a car that I swear told me I was going 10 miles an hour slower than I actually was.
You probably were right.
I got several tickets for that, and I'm trying to plead my case to the cop who's pulling me over, which is null and void. It doesn't work. You got to go to the judge. And I'm like, dude, I saw you guys down the road, and I specifically was doing 55 miles an hour, and I got tagged for 65. And
perhaps President Washington could convince you.
And my dad did not believe me because I was like 19 at the time.
Uh-huh.
And he did not believe me. So I'm like, you get in my car. I'm going to get in your car. Let's get out and ride next to each other.
Yeah.
You do the speed limit. I'll do mine. And let's see.
Right.
And sure enough, he's like, you were right.
He got pulled over.
No, it was off.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just needed to be vindicated with my dad.
To accommodate that buffer and that everything's not 100% calibrated correctly across all cars, that makes sense.
Well, so speaking calibration, like you can't just trust that the machines are going to be correct, right? So if you're going to have these speed radars that you're just going to get a ticket from, you know, like they have in D.C., and I've gotten clipped on this. My wife has been getting tickets for going through an Easy Pass in Delaware where she pays the Easy Pass, and for some reason it doesn't register. Huh. And she's gotten clipped like 4 or 5 times.
I think the Easy Pass thing is a whole other subject because you have the transponders and some and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, but that's so easy though. If you get a ticket through Easy Pass, all you do is they connect it to your Easy Pass transponder and they make it go away.
That's the thing. She doesn't have a transponder. She's paying. She's literally paying with her money.
Well, then she can't go through Easy Pass.
So
is she going to the booth?
You know how some booths say Easy Pass and tickets?
Yeah.
She's going through that booth, and then for some reason, if she's behind somebody that's in an Easy Pass, that's not registering, and then she's getting clipped for them, but even though she's paying.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Well, they also
that's
have you call it booths. So,
you call it?
Yeah.
She's got Zhang under her receipts?
And, yeah, because we're getting stuff in the mail. And then there's a picture of her in her car picture of our license receipt. Plate. And,
correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't most Easy Pass going to go away now because of they're simply just grabbing when you go through the toll booth, regardless of...
they were talking about just doing the plates.
Just doing the plates.
Yeah, eventually it's going to get to that.
Right. So I mean, the recognition ID or the whatever the system is... it's pretty accurate.
By the way, in another story of driving and being on the road and so forth, Nevada is doing away with the parallel parking requirement on its driving test.
That's what got me the first time when I failed.
And that's the reason. The spokesman for the Department of Motor Vehicles said they eliminated the parallel parking from driving tests as of January 13th because it leads to too many retests.
Nick. Well, shouldn't that how it be? Like,
exactly.
If you're failing, you need to improve your driving ability.
Nick, you had to parallel park?
The second time, I did not. The second time, I had to do a three-point turn. The first time, I had to do parallel parking, and my tire clipped the curb, and automatic failure.
Because you ran over a bassinet.
Well, yeah, but it was like an obstacle course.
We're the same age. I never had to parallel park.
It changed.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. It changed from test to test.
That was a major part of my test.
Were you prepared for it?
What, parallel parking?
Yeah.
No, I never had to practice
it. You knew you didn't have to do it?
Yeah.
I had to do it.
I didn't have to. But I'm older than you.
That was the big fear. It was like the big last thing. You're like, oh, my God, I got to parallel park at the end. You know what I mean?
Oh, or the thing. Did you have to do the thing where you're up on two tires driving down a very narrow alleyway?
I was good at that. Yeah.
But okay.
I never had to parallel park. In fact, for the longest time, I used to, when I was a lifeguard at this one swim club. If I had to parallel park when I was getting to work, I would park the car out front. I would go get my manager. I'm like, can you go park my car for me?
You know how to do it now?
Oh, my God.
I need my hiney wiped.
Yeah. I'm so good at it now.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah.
Well, what's happening is because all the technology, but, you know, no matter how good the technology is, and I had like the Volvo that I was endorsing for a while, great car.
Yeah.
It had that parallel park technology. The driver assist,
yeah.
Honestly, it's most of them are easy scenarios.
Yeah.
I've parallel parked, and you have as well, Preston, I know, in super tight situations, and I can do it.
Yeah.
But if it's a really sort of easy parallel park, the car can do it.
There was a time where I had an apartment in the city, and I learned, I mean, I already knew how to parallel park, but I learned how to do it in tight spots and anytime.
It's not as impressive. I parallel parked when we were doing the Hoagie Fest down at Independence Hall. I got into a really, really tight spot. And I kind of bragged about it. But at the same time, you have these backup cameras. And you can, you know what I mean?
It's much easier.
And now, like, my car has a camera in the front and the back. So I can see everything. It's kind of like cheating.
No, it's not. But it's a standard. Listen, it used to be quite standard when you were parking the old way, the way the bumpers were configured. Tap, 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 tap. And that's how you would, you wouldn't ram the car, but you'd know, okay, I can go this far. And that's
how my dad learned.
Everyone had little smudges on their bumpers.
Yeah, but that's why they're called bumpers. You should be able to use them.
That's what
right?
the bumper's for.
Yeah. Yep.
Even if you're not... even if you don't have to do that, you should definitely learn, because the last thing you want to do is be in Center City and you see a spot that you can park in and there's people behind you. And if you don't get that thing in pretty quick, man, you're just going to get the ire from everybody.
So consideration here, and I've done this many times. If I see a spot that's a spot I can get into, and I look at the cars on each side, I'm like, is this mother effer going to clip me when they pull out?
Yeah.
And that you also have to assess that.
Oh yeah,
the risk factor.
Yeah,
yep, most definitely.
Oh man, and also leave your. I like to leave myself enough room one way or the other
to tailgate.
No, because you never know, like, who's going to leave before you. And if they're going to park right up against your bumper, when you're parallel parking?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. No, you need to think about, am I going to be able to get out of this when I have to leave?
Mm-hmm.
Most definitely. Let me see. We have some other calls. I have Tom, who is a retired police officer, can address the radar questions. Hey, Tom, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
Good, man. So, Tom, were you a local police officer?
I used to be a police officer in Virginia.
Oh, okay. Virginia. Okay. Oh, so you guys had radar down there, right?
Yes.
And if I recall, Virginia's pretty strict.
Depending on where you are, yes.
I think I remember driving into Virginia one time and there was a sign about radar detectors.
It's when you cross the Potomac and you're leaving Maryland and head into Virginia. It's a blatant sign that says you are now in a state where radar detector is basically encouraged.
Dot, dot, dot. Suck it.
Yeah. I basically set the cruise control in Virginia to the speed limit because they are. I was always under the impression that they were super strict.
Was it your deal, Tom? Were you as a police officer when you were active? Were you very strict on exceeding the speed limit?
It's like the other officer that called in said. It depended on your time of day, how many pedestrians are out, things
right.
like that, how strict or how somebody's driving. Also, your conditions. I worked in an area that was basically a 25 zone, and we had a 35 zone that was a county road that came through the town. So in the 35 zone, I would give people, upwards of 10, depending on the condition.
Yeah.
In the 25 zone, I rode somebody as low as two just because there was so much heavy pedestrian traffic.
And okay.
They just weren't paying attention, obviously.
Tom, did you ever use the phrase, you're not from around here, are you?
No, sir.
Okay.
There was this hippie kid from St. Louis who was there. You know what I always wondered, Tom, and maybe other officers, and this we all get in this situation. You're driving along, and there's a cop car traveling along with you, and no one will pass the cop car in the other lane.
Yeah.
Like, so in other words, so if Tom, you were driving along, would that make you chuckle a bit when you had that sort of elephant line behind you of cars that refused to pass you?
If the officer's doing the speed limit, then obviously don't pass him because if he's in his jurisdiction, he's going to write you probably.
Yeah.
If the officer's doing under the speed limit, really, there's no reason why you can't pass him on a multi-lane road.
What if it's 40 miles an hour and the police officer's doing 41 miles an hour and you pass him on the left doing 43 or 44?
I just wouldn't pass them.
Yeah, right. Not a good idea. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
Steve, is it a scene in Super Troopers where, like, the cops are literally doing, like, 15 and a 40, and he's got a line of cars behind him?
I don't doubt it.
Because nobody's willing to pass him?
I mean, at that point, have you ever in your life seen someone pulled over for going dramatically under the speed limit?
No. I mean, I've never seen that happen. I've seen people pulled over and wondered why they've been, but I would hope that they do pull people for going way under.
Especially if you're on a stretch of road that's a single lane. It's like, are you kidding me? You know, it drives me crazy.
It's only one or two times in my life have I seen somebody driving like a complete douchebag and then maybe a few minutes later seeing them pulled over. And it is just the greatest thing in the world.
All right. I saw it.
I love it.
A Mercedes, a brand new Mercedes, some sort of something. That shouldn't even be a Mercedes. Booking along on Lancaster, like weaving in and out like a huge game of Tetris,
dude,
and an unmarked police car comes up. I'm like, yeah,
Preston, can you go to line four? The local up.
Yes, I have an anonymous local officer. Hi, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, my man. Nick, what'd you want to ask him?
No, I'm just curious as to how local varies from somebody who is a retired cop from Virginia.
Well, that Virginia guy is a horrendous cop for stopping somebody for doing two. the reputation even extends towards us. I've heard cops have been getting pulled over, and they're like, come on, man, we're on the job, and they're still getting tickets. But I work in a jurisdiction that has a motor speedway ripping through it, and I'm one of those cops, Steve, that drives an unmarked car, and it is the most satisfying feeling to finally stop somebody who's driving like an a-hole. And when you're walking up to the car, you can hear the people honking their horn as a gratification that you finally got them stopped.
Listen,
I've had it.
That would be me.
It's
great.
Because I just want to say, Preston has something, and let me ask you. He encounters, there's a lunatic you see every morning, Preston, right?
It's not every morning, but at least once a week. It's the same guy, same vehicle. I got his driver's license. I mean, listen, the guy's just not speeding. He's cutting people off, tailgating.
I think you only see him sometimes because I think he's a little bit later because I see him too. Is he on the Schuylkill?
Yes.
Yeah, I think he varies because he has been tailgating me last week 3 days in a row, and I was like, I want to kill this guy.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean,
on me where it is dangerous, and there's cars in front of me. Now, I get over because I don't want anything to do with him, but then he just speeds up and tailgates the guy in front of me.
Question. So, what do I do about that?
Average.
Yeah, do I call the state police? It's where they, you know, it's on the Northeast Extension.
Yeah, you certainly can try calling, but the golden ticket for us is getting a license plate.
Okay, well, I got that.
We call those calls erratic drivers. We get them frequently.
Okay.
But the hardest part about investigating those types of calls is you don't have a tag. And without a tag, there's, you know, a gold car going down the street. Okay, great. What can I do with that?
Well, Preston,
a tag just gives me something to work with. I can probably look a phone number up, maybe give the guy a call, find out what's going on. Or if it's really bad, you know, there's been several times where, you know, my squad's been able to get out on the road and, you know, intercept the guy or girl and get him stopped and address the issue right then and there.
So you can do a citizen's arrest, I know, but can you do a citizen's speed strip?
you mean a spike strip?
Spike strip.
Yeah.
Can you do a citizen's spike strip? Is that?
I'll tell you what, it'll make for entertaining day.
I have one citizen's spike strip.
I have one more question. Can you pull over or have you pulled over anybody for going too slow?
Yes, absolutely. You know, like I said earlier, I have a highway that rips through my township. And, you know, the speed limit's 55, and we've certainly had people coming through in the 30s or 40s. And a lot of times it's the elderly coming through. They're scared. It's at night. They can't really see. Or sometimes it's the guy who's drunk or high and has no freaking clue what planet they're on.
I mean, your heart has to go out to the elderly people who are doing that. And I think probably as a concerned officer, what you do is you pull them over, you take them into the woods and shoot them. Because, God bless, but sometimes you get stuck behind somebody. And it's like, you just, there are people, and I think you would probably agree with this. God bless them, and I know it's, you know, you want your mobility and so on and so forth. But you actually see accidents occurring around these people. They're causing them, and somehow they never end up as the recipient of the accident. They're never part of it. They're causing it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Between that and gaper delays, or, you know, when people are rubbernecking, looking at crashes that are on the side of the road and not paying attention to what they're doing.
Yeah.
Just focus on your job. I always teach kids when I stop kids, your driving's your job. It's the most important thing you can do at that point in your time.
Yes.
You're driving a vehicle that you're driving an object that kills more people every year than guns do.
Yeah.
And you know, here they are playing on their phones, playing with the radio, talking with friends, whatever the case may be. And you know, they don't get the seriousness of when they get in a crash, how close they are really a lot of times to haven't been really hurt.
Yeah.
True words. True.
All right. Thanks. We appreciate it, officer.
Thank you. Have a good one.
All right. You too. You know what? And the most calls we get on the Love You Hate You line have to do with traffic.
Yes.
Almost always. It's a huge, huge concern about people who are driving regularly. And we have to stress always about the fact that the left lane is made for passing. I know you hear it all the time, and it absolutely is. And one of the things that drives me nuts is, let's say there's somebody who's, you know, there's somebody who wants to get by in the left lane. The person sitting in that left lane is driving at the same speed as someone in the right lane.
Yeah.
And they just go and go and go and go.
I hate it.
You can bump your speed up about 3 miles an hour and then move back over into the right lane and then slow back down to that same cruising speed that you love oh so much and just allow the people to go on just for the simple fact of relieving the traffic congestion. And that's a big part. And there's mathematically, you can look up studies that are done. When that is done, it clears up so much movement.
Yeah.
Or it allows so much more movement on the road.
There are people, though, who suddenly become resolute. Oh, no, you're not getting past me. And
I
can see that. And it's like, you rat bastards. You know, but as you said earlier.
I only feel that way if I'm actually going over the speed limit.
Yes, to his earlier point, that's exactly what I was
going
to say.
But if I'm going the speed limit, get over.
Yeah, the Bell Parkway in New York is legendary for this. And, Kathy, you would probably agree with this. You could be going down the Bell Parkway at 115 miles an hour, and there'll be somebody riding your ass flashing their brights. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
115 miles an hour.
I was talking to Steve Vesalotti, who works down the hall. He used to be our intern here, and he had the worst drive into work this morning. There's one woman that he has to beat onto the road, because if he doesn't, he has to drive behind her on a one-lane road.
Oh, yeah.
And she goes 25 into 25, and it's like, I feel your pain.
Citizen Spike Strip.
You're going 25 and a 25 at 4 o'clock,
at 4 o'clock in the morning.
At 4 o'clock in the morning.
It is different at that time of the day.
Though there are people who go crazy. I mean, again, on my drive-in, it's Lincoln, right? So, and it's this windy. I get it. But you shouldn't be pulling 80 miles an hour down Lincoln.
No. I agree. By the way, speaking of the elderly, as you said, driving slow, Steve, a 107-year-old man is the country's oldest person behind the wheel. And he has something to say to the naysayers. He says, of course I'm a good driver. Joe Newman of Sarasota, Florida, currently drives a bright red convertible and has been cruising the streets for 90 years. Nowadays, he mostly goes for a spin while running errands in the neighborhood and likes to go on joy rides with his 99-year-old fiance, Anita.
So what the deal is, and I saw what happens, is that he sits in the driveway and they walk by with potted plants and make him think. We're seeing footage of him. He's booking along in a convertible.
This guy's 107?
Yeah, Anita. Yeah, look at him. He looks fantastic.
Oh, my God.
Anita agrees that Joe is a good driver, but she told Inside Edition she still has some reservations. She said, I close my eyes most of the time.
Man, oh, man. Look at this.
Yeah.
He's doing street racing
That guy's 107. He looks like he's in his 80s, for crying out loud.
He looks great.
Wow.
He's making out with his girlfriend.
Oh,
look, she's giving him a handy.
And she's
not. Oh, look, it came off.
What are you watching?
She looks good for 99.
She's hot.
Yeah. All right.
Are you guys the least bit curious about what actually happens to you when you're that old?
Oh, no. I've seen a lot of movies.
That causes you to drive that way? That causes you to drive?
Your physical capabilities.
Yeah. Yeah. What is it, do you think? Is it your vision?
It's the natural aging.
What are you talking about?
It's your stool.
Your response.
He's getting older.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not in a hurry.
I think it's your stool, the quality of your stool.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just your response time, it gets more relaxed.
What do you think it is, Case?
Well, I don't know, but we came up with three different reasons. It's, you know, one said you're not in a hurry. You said response time. I said vision. So it wasn't such a dumb question. Let's move along.
Okay.
I think it's road trolls.
Okay. they only attack
the
elderly.
They attack the old because they eat their pharmaceuticals.
They go after their drugs, their pharmaceuticals?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what they live off
of. They live on it, Jimmy. Well, so like that SNL bit.
I gotcha. All right. So anyhow, so radar, there's a bill that's being proposed. Pennsylvania is the only state in the nation that doesn't allow local police departments to use speed radar, and they are trying to make that happen.
Go speed radar.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break and come back in a second. I got some B-File stories I think you're going to love. We got some guests on the program. We'll tell you about all that stuff in a little bit. We will be back shortly.
93.3 WMMR presents a sold-out concert event. The original lineup of Live. Thursday, February 20th at the sold-out Excite Center at Parks Casino. Ed Kowalcha, Chad Taylor, Patrick Dahlheimer, and Chad Gracie. Live rocks the house. All this week, Pierre Robert has free tickets and passes to meet the band. WMMR.com for complete details on Live's sold-out February 20th show at the Excite Center. From Parks Casino and 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
Now, WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Let's get into it, shall we? It's brought to you this morning by Red Robin. Red Robin is sharing the love in February with 15% off all online orders. Using the promo code ONLINE15. Order today, or you can order at, order today at order.redrobinpa.com. There you go. Red Robin, yum! All right, so two men were horrified when a dark substance with a horrible smell that started dripping down their wall was actually the blood of an upstairs neighbor who had died more than a week earlier.
Jesus Christ.
No. Yeah. AJ McCready tweeted pictures and videos from the stains in his apartment in Minneapolis, saying that it, quote, smelt horrible recently. He and his roommate called a maintenance team to investigate who discovered the decomposing, who had discovered the decomposing body of their neighbor. Yeah. Authorities said the black tar-like liquid was bodily fluids. It had leaked through the floor and into AJ's apartment.
What did it taste like?
They didn't say. He and Evan Schultz told their Twitter followers about the grim discovery, with AJ saying, "My apartment has smelt horrible recently, and I just found out the guy living above me has been dead for over a week."
It's wild that it liquefied. I mean, that's actually fairly quick, is it not?
I would think
for a body to liquefy.
He said, and before you ask, his body was just discovered after his blood leaked down the ceiling into our apartment this morning.
Okay.
All I really know of the situation is the man upstairs died in his sleep. His body decomposed and somehow managed to seep into our apartment. AJ said that at first, maintenance workers had no idea what the substance leaked down the hall was. He added, he wiped off a little on the wall to examine it and still really couldn't determine anything.
Listen, I don't want to insert a blatant commercial here, but I'd call the fine folks at Horizon.
Officers investigated the scene and nothing appeared suspicious. The deceased man's identity and cause of death have not yet been released.
So whatever it was, it had to have allowed blood to exit the body, right? Because
I don't know.
A sack of meat at that point after a week.
Recent violent fights between school students in Grand Prairie, Canada, appear to be organized by adults. This is a fight club that's being organized by adults, and a local school board is warning parents. Two organized fights in parking lots sparked a letter to parents after a request from local police. Neither of the fights occurred on the school's property. But one was in a well-lit local school parking lot.
How old are these kids that are fighting?
They're like high school kids.
Oh, all right.
So both of the fights occurred at night with cars forming a circle around the area as many people surrounded to watch.
Well, there you go.
Two adults appear to be organizing the fights. The fight is prearranged. The location and time is selected, and certain students are invited to the fight. Cars form the circle, turn their lights on. The fight then occurs and is videotaped. The two fights were intense and injuries were severe.
Adults are running this.
Yeah, one student was hospitalized because of this.
Don't they have a chess club?
The school board is asking parents and students to notify police immediately if they witness this activity or hear of a scheduled fight in advance.
Did your school have a fight club?
Not that I remember, no.
I wonder if there's gambling.
All right, this is messed up, man. Big time messed up. A Kansas woman was convicted Thursday of beheading her ex-boyfriend's mother and then leaving the severed head in a kitchen sink.
Wow.
Rachel Hilliard of Wichita cut off the head of 63-year-old Mickey Davis with two steak knives.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Hilliard attacked Davis without provocation, the district attorney Mark Bennett said. Davis went to Hilliard's home with her 9-year-old grandson to collect his things at Hilliard's instance.
Jeez.
For their own reasons, Richard Hilliard had it with Mickey, according to Bennett. Hilliard, who was treated at a state psychiatric hospital before she was declared competent for trial, said she was discussing a painting with Davis when she lost her temper.
And cut her head off?
Yeah, she said, I just freaked out. And we were wrestling in the garage, and we got into a fight. What?
There's a big step between wrestling and decapitating.
Uh-huh. Prosecutor said Davis's grandson told police that Hilliard jumped on the elder woman and beat her with no warning.
God. And another thing, don't leave your heads in the sink.
Yeah. They were just talking about art, apparently.
Yeah.
And that happened.
I wonder what the discussion was centered around.
Bennett said Hilliard used a second knife after the blade of her first one broke.
Yeah.
Davis was found in the garage and her severed head in the kitchen sink. Do you know how much time and effort it would take to cut a human head off?
Not unless you're using the new Guy Fieri knives. They are sensational.
Super sharp.
Super sharp.
Hilliard is expected to be sentenced on March 27th. That is just absolutely over the top insane. Wow. When gasoline fumes got too intense at an Indianapolis auto repair shop on Tuesday, workers thought that they had the perfect solution. It didn't work. Instead, a fire that heavily damaged the business broke out.
I got this.
Workers at the auto center store had emptied a gas tank on a car and put the gas in a bucket. Now, when the fumes became too strong, they needed to, you know, change the odor in the room. So they lit some incense to help with the smell. Embers from the incense found their way into the bucket, and the gas went up in flames. The workers escaped unharmed and called 911. Firefighters...
Yeah, Joe, use some of that sandalwood.
Firefighters went to work, and it took 40 minutes to bring the blaze under control. The fire did not spread to adjoining businesses, but damage to the auto repair shop was indeed heavy. So, and there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you.
Makes me think of the scene in every one of the Roadrunner commercials, but the cartoons, but the one where he's in the shack, the coyote, and he doesn't know what's in there, and he keeps lighting the match, but you keep seeing the words TNT behind
right,
him.
Right. He just keeps going. I love it. All right, so I want to give away another one of these. Caller number 15, we have a $50 Acme gift card. Don't forget, you can love your savings at Acme this week. Get a premium rose bouquet for $19.99 and a Valentine's cookie cake for just $6.
I've picked up some additional items from Acme for Valentine's Day. There's some great stuff.
Only at Acme, your one-stop Valentine shop and your favorite local supermarkets. Call number 15 to get that $50 Acme gift card, 215-263-WMMR. That's the number. We're going to have actor and director Tom McCarthy in the studio along with actor Winslow Fegley, who are from Timmy Failure, Mistakes Were Made. And Winslow is the star. He's the kid. He is Timmy Failure. So
I think he's in like the Macaulay Culkin. He's that next find.
It's on Disney Plus, and they will be here in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll take a break and be right back. Make sure you stay with us.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals.
Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Thanks, Kath. Got a little shout-out here request. Says, hey, bitches, I was hoping to get a Valentine's Day or sometime around that shout-out for my husband, Dan Carey. He is an amazing guy, and he puts up with a whole lot of crap from me. He is an unbelievable father to our kiddo and deserves so much more. But he is an I-don't-know-what-I-want, I-don't-want-anything kind of guy. So I figured out what to get him for the holiday is for any holiday is impossible. However, he podcasts you guys to get through a lot of work travel. So I know a nice juicy shard out is perfect.
Huh.
And it would help him get out of the cockamamie car. It's supposed to be cock-a-duty.
Cock-a-duty.
Close enough, yeah. Though. Thanks. And Rage On, that is from Danielle Carey. So here's a shard out to your hubby, Dan, and we hope you guys have a great Valentine's Day.
She actually sent me a follow-up email, Preston, saying, I'm sorry, I meant to write cock-a-doody car.
Seriously? Yeah. Oh, okay. He didn't get out of the cock-a-doody car. So
he didn't get out of the cock-a-doody car!
I have some Valentine's-related, a couple of things that are Valentine's-related, and they're in the form of edibles, so oh. That means we need to swing by the bistro.
Of the connoisseur. All the foods that set you into a loving mood delivered to you on a platter.
Mm-hmm. Last year, Marissa gave me one of the coolest Valentine's Day gifts I've ever gotten. It was the pickle bouquet.
That was cool.
That was Valentine's
Day. She made that, right?
Yeah, she made it. It was awesome. It was several different styles of pickles and olives and things like that in an awesome arrangement.
What did you get, Casey?
I'll never be able to top it.
Nothing. Pretty sure I didn't get anything. But that's okay. I didn't want anything.
You're a pickle fan, though.
And Marissa is. Yeah. Marissa's a pickle fan. She knows my absolute love for all things pickled, so she did that, which was really, really cool.
Your son made pickles.
He does. Yeah. He did and still does. So I saw this, which is similar to that, because we've seen some things like this, but we were wondering what the next type of food bouquet might be, and I read of a salami bouquet. Yes.
I'm out on that one.
I'm in.
Of course
you don't like salami?
That's too much meat.
Too much meat? All right. So the salami.
These words have never been uttered.
The salami bouquet is $49.
I'm sorry, but that's just too much meat.
It's $49 and includes three types of dry salamis, an original one, a three pepper flavor, and a truffle one.
I know people love salami. Some people, I just hate it.
Yeah,
really?
Oh, really?
I hate salami.
Oh, man, no.
Salami, summer sausage, all that stuff. Yeah. You make up a charcuterie board.
Yeah, I hate that too.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan.
Oh, God. I could just eat that for dinner.
Yeah.
Easily.
But my cousin does that. I mean, he will just straight up like, all right, I'll just take two charcuterie.
Stop and remember, though, years ago, the whole concept of cheese and all a cheese platter is something I loathe, and now I love it. Yeah. So maybe in another 50 years.
I'm hearing about this because I was thinking
about...
And you're
into it?
No, well, I was thinking maybe I should get my wife a cheese bouquet because she is all about cheese all the time.
You can't get her a cheese bouquet. You're going to have to make it.
You got
to
make it.
Yeah.
I was thinking it would have been a good idea since we didn't do a Pollyanna this year. We could have each done like a different bouquet, but there's not enough time now.
Do you think like a place like DeBruno Brothers would have
That's what I was thinking.
Would have like a cheese bouquet? I don't think that's...
I don't know. Marissa, do you still eat cheese? I know you're vegan slash vegetarian.
What, pescatarian.
All right, are you pescatarian?
I had the most amazing food experience of my life last week, and it was at DeBruno's. It was called DeBruno's After Dark, where pretty much they open up the restaurant and you can like crack open anything. And they make cheese platters, and you can like open up jars of stuff and try everything.
Welcome to DeBruno Brothers After Dark. My name is Kathy Romano. All the cheese has been whittled down into phallic symbols.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
It's not meat. So the reason I told the story was because I ate so much cheese last week that I went vegan this week.
Oh, just for this week though?
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying. Like, you know, and then I had a ball brunch, so then I ate cheese over on Sunday.
All she ate was balls for brunch? Is that what that is?
That was a ball brunch. Oh, you told me about this.
Yeah.
Explain.
All of my friends, we had a brunch. Everybody made a dish, and everything had to be in the shape of a ball.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I won, by the way, guys, if
what,
you care.
What was your ball?
It was like I made that pull-apart bread that was like biscuits with cream cheese inside.
Oh, your friend's urologist?
Yeah.
Let me ask you, though, with the DeBruno thing, did you see anything that approximated a cheese bouquet?
I'm looking at it right now, and yes, Steve, as a matter of fact, they have. Well, no.
No.
It's a salami bouquet.
God damn it.
Steve, I will help you make a cheese bouquet because it'll be so much fun.
Well, I think that's a good concept. I'm not down with the salami. So it comes covered in red tissue paper. It is tied with a ribbon. The bouquet also comes tucked into a box that is filled with shredded paper, which makes it feel extra special.
Shredded paper.
It's available at Hickory Farms, I believe. Standard shipping takes 3 to 5 business days, so you can get it now in time for the holidays, possibly.
How much is it?
If you get on it. It's $49.
Excuse me. Would you like to taste my smoked meat log?
How long does it last? How long does any meat like that last? Like in the fridge, for example, if you have it in the drawer?
It can, well, if it's still in the package.
Yeah.
Oh, for months. It can, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So
Did you have some?
Yeah. I got a salami that I haven't quite opened yet, and I bought it a while ago. It's still there. I figured it's fine. It's a salted meat, right?
Yeah, those things are made to last for a while. Yeah.
I leave my chicken cutlets on the printer.
Okay, so that's printer.
Yeah.
That's
smart.
Okay. All right. So anyhow, there's a salami.
What about prosciutto, Steve? You like prosciutto?
No, I don't like that stuff.
Yum.
That's dinner.
Yeah.
However, I've made major steps forward in my adoration for cheese and olives. And artisan breads.
What about
salmon? You love salmon.
Salmon was a huge leap.
Marissa?
Preston, that's why you have to do this DeBruno's thing I did. They served I think it was a prosciutto. It was $120 a pound.
Oh, my God.
Yes. And they said, wait, what's prosciutto? Which animal is that?
Pig.
It is. So it's this. So wherever they buy this from, there's a law that each pig needs 2 acres to roam.
Okay. Yeah.
So imagine.
Roam where you want to.
Imagine the farm that this is coming from. It almost made me eat meat. It looked that
good. We only want you to eat very happy pigs.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Make them as happy as you can and then drive a nail to their skulls.
La-di-da-di-da.
Bacon. I'm the happiest pig in the...
It's just one brief moment of sadness.
Yeah.
And that's
it. Yeah. Very quick.
Yeah.
But other than that, he was just the happiest little pig.
So my son, he's in school now. He went vegetarian for a little while, and he wanted a Popeye's chicken sandwich. Hang on.
Okay.
And he forgot that he was a vegetarian, and then he's like, all right, maybe I'll just do it after New Year's. And we're driving to Popeye's, and I go, hey, bud, you don't have to worry about eating this chicken because these chicken, they were tickled to death, so it's okay.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
And did he eat it?
Oh, of course he ate it. Yeah.
Wait. So he's the that whole experiment's over now?
No. He just
tricked his son into eating meat.
No, that was before New Year's, and then after New Year's, he had made a decision. He went all of January.
All salami.
He went all of January without eating meat, and so he's fallen off. It's hard, man. It is a really tough discipline.
Especially when your dad's saying, come on, let's go. Let's have meat.
I think now more than ever, for me, I'd say mostly pescatarian at this point.
Right.
Now, with the way the food is prepared and all that stuff, it's so good.
Yeah.
I think now are the happy days for anyone thinking of entertaining the notion of at least trying to be a vegetarian at some level.
Well, Kat, it's not a fair assessment of me because I supported it the whole time. And I went out and I shopped for him. I bought him all the vegetarian stuff.
Right.
But, you know, what it boiled down to was we were having food that he wanted. And I'm, you know, I'm like, I'm not going to judge you, man. You know,
but I'm not going to not eat what I want.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I've been going almost meat free for the past 2 weeks or so.
Do you fish?
I feel the same. I mean, you know, but
how are your BMs?
You know what? Not as good.
They're not robust, are they?
Here's the deal. Yeah. And I'm actually glad you asked me this, Steve.
Me too.
I'm eating healthier.
Yeah.
And listen, folks, as an adult, you just want to take a good dump. I mean, that's exactly. part of one of the things you want.
You
want
to get your Social Security checks and take BM.
It's like I'm crapping gravel right now.
Oh, really?
You know, yeah, I hate those.
Rabbit turds?
Yeah.
That's
the
worst.
Well, and I'm eating well.
Do you have any potholes in the neighborhood that you can perhaps fill?
Oh, yeah. I hadn't thought about that, but no, not really. Do something constructive with my feces. Let me go to Justin. Hey, Justin, good morning.
Hey, morning, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, what's up, buddy?
So, Super Bowl, me and my girlfriend made buffalo chicken dip. So we were talking to my friend.
I love that.
And she was like, we were going to make pigs in blankets, but... Justin made buffalo chicken dip instead. Now, let me preface this by saying that she has a hot dog tattoo under her left boob.
Okay.
So
oh, that is so
say,
hot. Oh, my
you're
God.
So
oh,
man. So salty.
Okay.
I would like a salami under the left boob and a wheel of cheese under the right boob.
So
in a buffet form.
Huh. So what are you going to do here? What it says here...
I am going to get a box of chocolates, and I am going to replace all the chocolates with pigs in blankets.
Oh, okay. So a box, and you're going to fill it up with pigs in blankets. That's a cute idea.
Mom always told me life was like a box of pigs in blankets.
Now, do you like pigs in blankets, Steve?
I do, actually. A little bit of mustard, and that's fine. Yeah. I know. It's weird, but
do
it's
you like...
Do
like pepperoni?
No, I do not.
Oh, my God. Really? That's like the best one.
You know, what we use to make pigs in a blanket are crescent rolls.
Yeah.
Buy a roll of those.
Is it really a mini hot dog? Like, is that hot dog material in there?
It's you can get, little mini wieners.
Yeah.
Or you can get little mini summer sausages
okay,
and use those, too.
Some guys have mini wieners.
They're all gross, though.
All the wieners are gross?
Yeah.
Mini doesn't matter.
Do you like hot dogs, Kath?
You know what? No, not really. Like, okay. The thought of it, it like looks good, but then I bite it and taste it, and it's disgusting.
Oh. Have you ever had, have you ever had, like, a real, like, a pure beef hot dog?
No, I skip the hot dogs.
The pure beef hot dog definitely tastes different than
way better.
Is it better?
The ones you get at the store are a mix of pork and beef. It's lips and a-holes, as they say.
Yeah, which is a movie series that I really recommend.
Yes.
And which is weird, because...
All right, so are beef hot dogs lips and a-holes too? Is it leftover stuff?
That I don't know.
Kosher hot dogs are really the best if you can get, you know.
Why? Yeah. What are they?
Because they're not. There's no pork.
Yeah, they're all beef. Yeah. All beef franks.
Okay. If you get like a Hebrew National, do you ever have that brand?
Yeah,
of hot
those
dog?
Are great. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right, I have another story, and it keys off of what Casey was talking about with his son, the chicken sandwiches.
Yes.
Apparently, you know, obviously Popeye's had the big surge since last year. By the way, those are coming back.
They're back.
They are back already?
Oh, they're back.
Okay. The popularity of the chicken sandwich, and that means not just Popeye's, but they were just added to this, that smaller chickens that are used to make these dishes are getting harder to come by. Scott Scheckler, who owns poultry producer Bill and Evans, says the issue is that large chickens produce meat that is tough and tasteless, while smaller chickens are juicier and more tender. The issue is now that there hasn't been an increase in the number of small chickens produced to meet the increased demand. And that's why it's going to be harder to make these kinds of chicken sandwiches because there aren't enough little chickens.
Well, the great thing with smaller chickens is, like, if you have a free-range smaller chicken, its area that it roams is the size of a stamp. So, and it can feel free to wander around.
You know, it's wild. And those who are animal activists will probably, you know, are up in arms about this type of thing. But when you go to the grocery store and you get a fryer chicken, you're going to bake like a roast at home.
Right.
Sometimes they're only a couple months old. They're only like three.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're only a few months old. They get them that big that quick.
Yeah, and
they're prepared, though. That what they do is they'll press, you know, they'll throw about 50 of them into a drum and drop a grenade into it.
Oh.
Yeah. And so, that's humane. Honestly, the best, and I tell you this, and I wish they'd advertise on the freaking station, because we best chicken sandwich I've ever had, Hip City Veg. And there's no chicken in it.
There's no chicken in it?
I think KFC is doing the chicken-free chicken sandwiches pretty
soon. Why not, man? Okay. Yeah, because honestly, it has a completely chicken taste to it.
Yeah.
And I effing, and in fact, it looks like chicken. Yeah. It looks like it.
I saw a, I think it was on Instagram, just a video of it was a Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich hack where they took the breast out of the bun. They threw it in that tinfoil pack that it comes in.
Yeah.
They throw the Chick-fil-A sauce on it. They throw the buffalo sauce on it. They shake it up.
Yeah.
So it covers the whole chicken breast, and then they put it back on the roll, and then apparently it is a total game changer.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I'd be up for trying that.
In fact, the video I saw, they do that, and then they hand it to a Chick-fil-A employee, and they're like, here, try this. And his face was like, what?
I wonder how different that would be if you just put Chick-fil-A sauce and buffalo sauce, you know, right on the bun and try it that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, this...
But this covers
this one
all.
Goes to 11.
All right, there you go.
Why not just put the sauce on the bread and forget the chicken?
I will give you that. Somebody texted in and said most chickens from the store are only 12 weeks old. Yeah.
So is that right?
Yeah, yeah. It's,
wow. They're
only, they are like, you know, those 5-pounders and stuff.
So that's probably the worst business to get in their chicken retirement plans.
Right.
Yeah. Clearly.
You got to move quick.
Yeah. Can I interest you?
Yeah.
My mom just made dinner the other night, and it was a roast chicken. And I'm sorry if you are a vegetarian, because it was so damn delicious.
It's yummy.
I love every second of it.
Was there raisins on it?
No raisins on the chicken, no.
There was jelly beans.
What is this on your chicken?
No.
There's jelly beans.
We have a small rotisserie. We have one of those.
Showtime grills.
Yeah. It's great, man. And when you rotisserie the chicken at home, it's quite tasty.
So do you buy fresh or frozen?
Fresh.
Okay.
Just steals his neighbor. Yeah.
I'm a buffalo.
The actual chicken.
Who's out there?
I made buffalo chicken dip for the Super Bowl, and I actually made it with, I grabbed the rotisserie chicken at Acme, and then I shredded all of that meat off of that chicken, and that's what I used for the buffalo chicken dip.
Did you boil it or roast it?
Oh, no. It's already pre-done.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. It wasn't dried out?
What's that?
It wasn't dried out after you put it in the crock pot?
No, it was so juicy.
So juicy.
Oh.
Here it comes. Take it out of the crock pot there.
So, chicken sandwich popularity is causing a small chicken supply issue. Small chickens.
We wet.
Not a tiny, but yes, we wet. Okay.
Yeah.
I have another Valentine's Day oriented connoisseur story.
Well, what do you think, by the way, if I make connoisseur? What would you say is the most romantic meal to serve someone? Obviously, what is class? I mean, we always think about oysters as a
well. If you're talking about
aphrodisiacs,
but
I don't subscribe
that
to that
romantic,
right?
Like spaghetti,
SpaghettiOs, and Meisterbrow.
I don't know. I have no idea. It's more the atmosphere than it is actually what you're serving. I think
right.
I had like a girlfriendish my freshman year of. College.
You're a cannibal?
And I had, I never cooked in the kitchen or anything like that, but for Valentine's Day, I wanted to make her dinner. So, I mean, we were better off just going and eating at the stupid school cafeteria, because I just went and bought some ragu and some San Giorgio spaghetti, and I just made spaghetti in the room. I thought it was being so romantic.
Was she moved?
I think she liked the gesture, but like thinking back on it, I just boiled some spaghetti and threw some ragu on it. It was like... Voila!
Where did you eat it?
In our dorm room.
On the toilet.
In the dorm room.
If you would have hit it with some Parmigiano Reggiano, that would have actually seemed like you tried.
I forgot about. I was trying so hard. Oh, she broke my heart. By the way.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh,
she left you for Chef Boyardee,
who's far superior. That's funny, Case.
Yeah.
Yeah, but hey, no, listen. And cooking for a potential date, no matter who you are and no matter what, well, not no matter what you're making, but If you can pull off a couple of decent dishes, it can go a long way for whomever, men or women, whether they're cooking for the other.
It's a wonderful gesture. I joined the Wolfgang Puck video chef series just to pick up a few tips. And my wife loves Eggs Benedict with hollandaise sauce. And I followed that video and I made those for her. And she loved them.
Good. Really?
She loved them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So there you go. It means a lot when you take the time to prepare food for someone.
Or you could do this. Domino's Australia has created an 18-carat yellow and white gold pizza engagement ring.
Wow.
The pizza slice consists of cheese and pepperoni rubies and is said to be worth about $9,000. You can enter to win the engagement ring. You have to submit a 30-second video explaining how you'll involve Domino's Pizza in your proposal. And you have to make your proposal by tomorrow, by the way. That's the last day.
How come there's never anything like of that nature? There are these really clever things that never make it here, you know?
Well, California Pizza Kitchen does the heart-shaped pizza for the kids, or I guess for anybody. For Valentine's Day.
Do you know what's hilarious now is you'll see the whole preponderance of failed heart attempts that end up looking like nut sacks, cookies. Casey, you posted one.
That would be me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
While we're looking at a picture of it, it's cheesy, no pun intended, but it's kind of cool.
Yeah, looks like a real slice of pizza.
Yeah.
I mean,
but it's rubies and diamonds.
It doesn't make it here because it's dumb.
Yeah.
It's horrendous. But you know, if you were to get that, Kathy, you would then melt it down.
Sell it.
Right?
And just throw it back at him and say, what is this?
How dare you?
Where's my shirt cartridge?
All right. So now we're getting away from the romance and just settling in on food. Let's go to some junk food, some snack foods. Apparently, returning to store shelves this summer will be Dunkaroos. They are coming back.
What are Dunkaroos again?
Yeah, I forgot.
It's like a cookie that, if I recall, that you dunk it into like fudge or something. Yeah, it's like a dip. Yeah.
By the way, I think both you and I would just on a side note with a similar sounding thing, how much are we rocking the Dunkachinos here?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Why you threw that in because the word dunk.
Yeah. Why did the Dunkaroos go away?
It's a good question.
They went into the military.
The brand confirmed its return in an Instagram post noting the flavor making the comeback is vanilla cookies and vanilla frosting with rainbow sprinkles.
It's like the snack that comes in the plastic container and, you know, the icing's on the one side, the cookies are on the other.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be training before you take these because these are obviously designed for athletes.
The snack is beloved by people who grew up in the 90s. So you got
I don't remember them.
These guys here.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, this.
You
was,
remember Dunkaroos case?
I remember them. That wasn't like a staple in my. I mean, this is like what you would stick in a kid's lunch.
So
you know,
you're dipping. You're dipping a cookie in icing.
Yeah.
Marissa is very excited.
Yeah, she is. I saw the face.
For our seltzer soiree last week, my friend made a homemade Dunkaroos.
Made Dunkaroos?
Yeah,
it's seltzer soiree.
It's just a
ball
cake icing.
Ball party. Pringles can wine.
Yeah, I know.
I told her I hate her friends so much. I hate them.
Because you're jealous.
Well, maybe a little bit.
What's next? What's the next big thing?
We don't have anything.
Do we need to come up with some ideas?
Maybe.
All right, some party-themed ideas that involve booze or food for Marissa, please.
I got an idea.
Let us know.
Dunk-a-booze.
Dunk-a-booze.
Yeah. You dip cookies into booze.
Yeah. Not bad. All right. What were you going to say, Casey?
No, I was going to say, Marissa, wait. This is how I spent my Saturday night. Coach a basketball team in a 30-point loss, and that's the way that you want to spend your Saturday night.
I don't think she does.
Work on that.
We lost our first game, Case.
Oh, man. By 30 points?
No. Only by 3 or 4 points.
Are you the coach?
No, but it was disappointing. They were undefeated. Now they're not. Oh. I think I was more disappointed.
You're not giving you all.
I was more disappointed than the kids, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Like upset or
no? They did so well. You know, they were. I mean, listen, they still did well. It's only one loss.
Is their season over?
No, we have playoffs tonight and tomorrow.
All right,
okay. All right,
moving along.
Let me see what else.
Dunkaroos. What other items from the past are making a resurgence?
This is not items from the past. This is to honor the 1-year anniversary of its loyalty program. Chipotle is launching what it calls Guac Mode.
Guac Mode.
Yes. Let's see. Eligible Chipotle Rewards members will get access to one free topping or side of guacamole with the purchase of a regular price entree. Shut up. Seriously?
Wow.
Go on. Why did I even bring this up?
They're really taking care of their customers.
You're right.
How much extra is the guac?
I don't know.
Very happy to announce that with the purchase of a medium soda, everyone will receive a drinking cup.
Right. Those currently in the loyalty program will be enrolled in guac mode automatically. But if you sign up now, you can still get the benefits of guac mode. You have until February 20th. This
guac mode. It's a couple of bucks, Nick.
Is it?
Yeah.
$2 for guac?
Yeah. I mean, what avocados are expensive. On? What they really need to work, because I love
Chipotle. What did my father fight in World War II for?
Guacamole, maybe?
Do you guys do... loyalty programs at restaurants?
I don't. My wife will do it, but I'll forget the card or I'll forget. I know Kathy does.
No, I don't. Nick. But of course, Nick. Does.
You know what? Honestly, you mentioned it earlier. You know one of the best ones is Dunkin'. You get free rewards all the time.
Okay. Nick
make
is
fun
in the,
all you want. I get.
Are you going to finish that mode as he walks out of the? Are you going to finish?
I got on my phone right now. I got Dunkin'. I got Wawa. I got. I don't have Chipotle though. But this one's kind of turns
me
off.
We have Panera. Rochelle, make sure that we use the reward. I don't know what we get out of it, but
free stuff.
Do we?
Yeah.
Hey. Okay. By the way, where do I see my rewards? Because I do the Dunkin' Donuts thing.
I have mine.
Points to D&D. A free beverage. Okay.
DD points, right?
DD points?
Right. Is that
it's just Dunkin' now. They dropped the donuts part of it.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. It's DNKN, Steve. They changed it a little bit.
They're so so up to...
So progressive.
Yeah.
So anyhow, guac mode.
Guac mode.
For those of you who are rewards members.
And it's guac not even mode. Like a full side of guac, right? It's just like a topping on something?
I don't know.
Yeah, they should also include, in addition to guac mode... not stale chip mode, and that would be great.
Snap.
Yes, yeah, snap. Oh, my God. Did you see me just clap at those guys?
Not stale chip mode, he said.
Kathy, it's one free topping or one side of guac.
Oh, okay. Oh, guac their mode. Side is probably small.
All right. Here's another thing from Connoisseur. We're going to go back to, like, the snacky thingies. Hostess has some limited edition flavors for spring. The first is mint chocolate cupcakes.
I love hearing that we're talking about spring.
Which feature chocolate cake, mint icing on top, and mint icing in the center.
So it's like the traditional Hostess cupcake, but with the mint.
Yeah.
Now, mint is a tricky item because mint, if done improperly, tastes too chemically.
Okay.
Chemical-like. So you've got to be authentic with your mintiness. That's my take on it.
Mint
is
something that I forget about, a flavor that I love from time to time. You know what I mean?
I have
mint chocolate chip ice cream and go, oh, yeah.
The only thing that reminds me of it is Thin Mints. Like, when that comes around, I'm like, I forgot I like chocolate.
Or the Girl Scout cookies.
That's what did I say?
You did.
Yeah. And I haven't bought a box yet. I was at the store the other day. They were outside, and they didn't take credit cards.
Do you do After Eight? Cash. Like the After Eight mints?
I used to eat entire boxes of those things. It sucked because you had to unwrap each one of them.
I know.
But I loved them.
I had to work to eat the entire box.
Yeah.
Kath, I did, I was going to say Duncan. Girl Scout. They did Venmo. They accepted Venmo payments.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I know.
Girl Scout. I was going to say, then they do the...
Shut up, guys. Shut up.
Ski rack. Otter.
Venmo.
So much
Kathy,
talking.
Did you understand what I was saying?
I did.
Plastic
yes.
tobacco. Midget. The guy with the hook.
What? Steve, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think that the mint... shake at McDonald's is too minty.
I think it's too minty.
It's a little minty.
I think it's a little too minty.
I like it.
It depends, though. I've had them made where they're on the money.
All right.
But sometimes they're where you adjust. It's a little too much. For me, the deal killer is overly sweet. Overly sweet, where you just feel like you're drinking insulin. It's
and the
too
shake
much.
Is. The shake is very sweet.
Now, sometimes, though, I love the McDonald's chocolate shake. I don't need the ice cream. I don't need the cream on top with the cherry and all that stuff. Ooh. You do like that?
I mean, I'll take it.
Extra whipped cream. Come on.
To me, I just like a regular straight-up shake.
I don't need the cherry. I don't need that, but I'll take the whipped cream.
But,
you know.
So the other flavor, strawberry cupcakes, they're coming out with, which feature strawberry cakes stuffed with cream filling and top of strawberry icing. And both are available for a limited time. So that's coming out.
I'll take it.
And then I have one other health conscious.
Oh, man.
That wasn't health conscious?
Casey's upset. Has to do with health.
Is it kale?
No. So it's about counting calories.
Yeah.
May actually be more complex than you think. Last month, the brand Kind said that it was lowering the calorie counts for its snack bars, even though the ingredients were still the same. The company cited studies that show nuts have fewer digestible calories than previously believed. Study co-author David Baer with the U.S. Department of Agriculture said, he's not a bear, says of nuts, if they're not digested, then maybe the calorie count is not correct.
So if it just slide, basically, if I could put this in medical terms, if it's sliding out your ass,
yeah,
you don't get the calories.
Yeah, you've heard eat the peanuts out of my poop.
Right,
before.
Yeah, so that's basically.
So those didn't get digested.
It's not digested. I do like the Kind bars a lot.
Yeah, I eat them every morning.
Yeah.
Bear, see, isn't this good news?
It is. I'm so sorry, Preston. I should have just let you talk.
Bear notes that it's hard to...
Everyone would like a Kind bar.
Hard to come up with the same calorie count for nuts, even if you repeat the same experiment. Still, he says he believes calorie counts used for most other foods are fairly accurate.
So what was the reduction in calories?
I don't know.
Oh, they don't know. Okay.
But
so they're, what are they per bar? What are they... 100 calories?
No.
Well, it depends.
No, they're pretty. They're like more like a meal.
Yeah, I have a...
They're supposed to be like, a meal replacement.
I will do the Kind bars and I'll do the Quest bars, the chocolate chip cookie dough, which are 200 for those bars. Yeah. And the Kind bars, what are they usually?
Well, so I have a 12-gram protein bar. So mine's more of like a protein bar.
Yeah.
So,
I do the dark chocolate, the caramel sea salt, and the nuts.
Oh, I love
those.
What's the flavor case?
This one is peanut butter, crunchy peanut butter. And this one, calories, 250. You know, but it's higher in protein. So
I saw an ad campaign for Kind, and they're basically going after Clif Bars, and they're saying that the main ingredient in Clif Bars is corn syrup, sugar, and that the main ingredient in Kind is stuff that's much healthier for you.
Man, wait,
I saw one that was more overt. It said that Clif Bars suck D's.
Right, yeah.
Which I thought, well, wow, that is aggressive.
Aggressive, yeah. But, you know, effective.
I think that might be what I eat.
Clif Bars?
What, D's?
Damn it, I like Clif Bars.
Oh, man.
Well, yeah, the reason you like them, and I do too, is that
there's
a lot of sugar, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Yeah. Experts say that calorie counts on food labels are still valuable as they offer general guidance for people trying to keep their weight in check. I use them. I appreciate it. When I see it on a menu, I'm like, okay. It's a guide.
Take it. You always give yourself a buffer and always know that the truth of the matter is, if it's not something you're going to enjoy eating, you're setting yourself up for failure. So just get closest to what you will eat on a consistent basis and stay with that. Because if it's shredded cardboard, you're not going to eat it.
Yep.
So pick the salami bar you like and go with it. So salami
and cheese.
No. Yeah, salami and cheese bars.
Dunkaroos.
Yes. Yeah. I'm going to have a Dunkaroos salami and cheese bar.
All right, that's what I have for you this morning.
Well done, connoisseur.
Wait, hold on. No,
wait, stop. Oh, wait, hang on a second.
Marissa has something.
My friend reminded me of our next party. You guys want to know what it is?
Yeah, yes.
It's an espresso tour. Espresso martini tour.
See, I would do a regular espresso tour.
Yeah. Steve, you and I can go on the espresso tour.
I won't do the espresso martini
tour. Wait, it's espresso martinis, like a coffee martini?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be bouncing off the walls at the end of that tour.
And slurring their words and puking.
It started over the weekend because we were craving one, and we went to our corner bar knowing they didn't have coffee, so we brought an espresso machine in someone's purse. Plugged it in and made coffee.
Oh my God. Freaking people.
Like on Jeopardy when they talk, well, every weekend, my friends and I, we have a wizard party and we sit around and we pretend we're Gandalf. Right? You can always hear the story. Well, we collect balls of yarn and we make kitten ears out of them. If you have fun though, and your friends have fun, that's all that matters.
It's just an excuse.
Yeah,
it's an excuse to do something and, you know, to be cute and aren't we having fun?
I can't wait till you start having sex as a collective. That'll be really
good. By the way, do each and every one of your friends own your own bowling shoes, like that you lifted from a bowling alley? You know, like those types of people, you wear like bowling shoes to be ironic.
No way.
Okay. Right.
They're not that level of hipster.
Okay.
No.
Not yet.
What were you going to say, Kath?
I forget.
Okay, that's all.
What was I going to say? Oh, I know. The Hershey Hotel has a great espresso martini. Back to you.
Back to me. Thank you. All right. That's it. Now, that's all I have. But listen, I also have a $50 gift card from Acme I'd like to give away. Speaking about all this food, I would like to take call number 18 at 215-263-WMMR. Give you the $50 Acme gift card. You can love your savings at Acme this week. And treat your sweetheart or treat yourself with fresh, dipped, chocolate-covered strawberries.
Oh, my God.
$6.99 for a six-count only at Acme, your one-stop Valentine shop and your favorite local supermarket. So, number 18, you get the gift certificate. We're going to come back in a moment. We have actor-director Tom McCarthy and actor Winslow Fegley in our studio to talk about Timmy Failure, Mistakes Were Made on Disney+. We'll have those guys in and more when we get back. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Green Day. Sturgill Simpson. Papa Roach.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Disney Plus is chock full of entertainment.
I love it.
All varieties.
Love it.
And we have two guests in our studio right now that are here to talk about a film that's premiering on the new Disney Plus features. And it looks great. I've only seen the trailer. Timmy Failure, Mistakes Were Made. It looks fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
And we want to welcome the director and the star of both to here to our studio. So please welcome Tom McCarthy and Winslow Fegley.
Yeah. Yay.
Thank you. Gentlemen, welcome. Welcome.
Great to be here.
And both of you, not too far off from your roots. Tom, you're from New Jersey, and Winslow, you're from Allentown.
Yep.
Very cool. Well, welcome to Philly.
Thank you. Always makes me happy when I can see New Jersey.
It centers you. Yeah.
It's a safe place.
Nice.
Well, doing a little reading up on everything and getting familiar with the project, just the trailer alone, I loved. And Winslow. You remind, I was saying to these guys, and we, Preston and I, we sort of were, you're familiar with Macaulay Culkin, the actor, at all? Or is he a little, okay, maybe not. But
Home
anyway,
he doesn't know where that voice is coming from.
Yeah.
So you are you have that sort of talent. You just come across and you can dominate the screen when you're on. And we said he plays a character in a movie called Uncle Buck, where he has kind of like a, he's kind of like a detective. He's investigating. He's always asking questions, and you have that same sort of delivery. And we were—that's a good thing to be, because he went on to be a multi millionaire. So good luck with that.
Yeah, not bad, right?
Yeah, that's ambition. Not too shabby.
Ambition.
Had you read the books when you did? Because this comes from a series of books, correct?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I had not read the books when I got the audition or anything, but I was familiar. Well, I had heard of the story. But I did start reading them with my dad, probably at the first or second audition, and I.
They're fun because Timmy sort of lives. He fancies himself the world's greatest detective. He has sort of like a Walter Mitty, so he lives. He has a sort of a fantasy world where he has his backup, or the one thing he works with is a polar bear in his mind, and so. But he solves these quote unquote crimes. And what drew you? What do you like about this character that you play in this movie?
I like that he's very confident and that he can't be anybody else. He has to be himself.
Yeah.
And I like that he's not afraid to be himself.
Yeah.
And doesn't have to fake to be anyone else.
Well, I was jotting down some of the things. So it's the world's greatest detective, lives in the shadow of a water tower in Portland, Oregon, and literally in the shadow of a water tower. You're the CEO of your own detective agency, and you're a partner, a 1,500-pound polar bear. So the story involves, though, your Segway gets stolen, correct?
Yes.
Well, it's mom's Segway, really.
Mom's Segway.
Right.
And so you've got to go solve that crime.
Yes.
All right. Very cool.
So, Tom, obviously, the main character has got to have this I haven't read the books, and is he read in the stories as flat and as straight and as hardline as Winslow has made this character to be?
I would say we found that character a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, the books were such an amazing inspiration. They're kind of books I picked up as an adult and just started laughing when I was reading them.
You can't help it.
No, they're really funny. Kind of... The voice is really funny.
And
really
to see
subversive.
A kid come across this way as a Jack Webb kind of dragnet.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
totally.
It's just hilarious.
And then have this incredible imagination. And we just found, like, you know, we knew it with the books that kids really responded to this character. He's like, he's very much beats to his own drum. He doesn't apologize for it. He's a little different. He's not normal, as he likes to say. Right. He's good with that. Normal is for normal people is one of his quotes. And it was just really fun to explore and kind of see this kid develop and come to the screen.
Winslow, how old are you?
I am 11. I just turned 11 like 2 weeks ago.
And who did your hair this morning?
That lady.
It looks great.
It looks awesome. And I just want to.
Nobody's asking me about it.
Your hair looks nice too. But you
did your hair?
Did you have somebody else do your hair?
No one touched.
No, all right,
Tom,
yeah.
I'll all do the your time hair was spent on that hair.
Tom, I can get you my cut if you want.
Thanks, man.
Same style, just more scalp. That's
thank
all.
You, thank you. Thank you. Thank God we're on the radio where I'd be blushing.
Winslow, do you like doing this type of thing? You like coming in and doing interviews and talking about the movie?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun doing all this press stuff and going to Sundance and. In all these different places. It's crazy.
Well, your family, I think everyone, all your siblings and your parents come from acting and entertaining, correct?
Yeah, everybody's actors, but they never really pushed me into doing anything. It was all kind of my decision, but I had watched my brother and sister do it and while I was growing up, so it was just kind of like a thing that I wanted to do because it looked like it was
well, very fun. I think you chose wisely. And Tom, you know, it's funny because doing the research on you, I'm like, I know this guy. You're a Swiss Army knife of capabilities. You're a writer, director, actor. You correct me if I'm wrong, but you were one of the co-writers on Up, were you not?
Yes.
And also on, what else, a Spotlight as a writer. People would know you from Meet the Parents and the Meet the Fockers movies. You're in that as well. You're in the movie 2012. By the way, you're a perfect example of a boyfriend that's legitimate that should get the actual girl.
Thank you for remembering.
And is screwed over because of John Cusack.
John Cusack swoops in and takes her.
And he's a loser, and you're a reliable guy.
You know what? You're one of the few men who see me, and I appreciate that. You see me.
It drives us crazy. Yeah. Like a liar, liar. Yeah. I'm sorry, but the other guy's reliable and good.
You know, we should spend the rest of the time talking about this.
Yeah.
Because it's on point, and it makes me feel good. And enough about this Winslow Fegley and how great he is in this movie. This has made my trip to Philly worth it.
Well, I can say, because I watched a movie over the weekend, and that Timmy Failure, Mistakes Were Made, is obviously it's a kids movie, but it's good for adults as well.
You need that.
Well, you need that.
If you're going to watch something with a kid, and the parents can enjoy it.
Yeah, I have three children, there were some programs as they were growing up that were clearly not for me at all, like Dora the Explorer, Caillou, things like that. But then there were other shows that I think as they were being made. The creators, the writers, the animators, whatever, knew that parents are going to be sitting there watching it as well. So they threw a few bones in there for us. So I was actually watching this by myself when my 14-year-old came in. She goes, "Are you watching Timmy Failure?" And I'm like, "Oh, have you heard of it?" She's like, "Yeah, I read all the books." And I'm like, "Well, where was I? I had no idea that you were reading these books."
That's why we made it. We wanted a live-action movie that you could watch with your kids and enjoy.
Winslow, what's it like after putting all this work in and going through the process of making a movie and then seeing it when it's done? Was it as exciting as you hoped it would be?
Oh, definitely. It's crazy. Everybody at school has been calling me Timmy.
That's awesome.
Everyone. But it's a lot of, it's a really cool experience.
Well, because when you're making a movie, you know, you guys do a lot of stuff. There are a lot of things that are filmed that don't make it into the movie, and those can be the entire scenes or just lines that are cut from here to there. Is there anything, were you disappointed at all, or were you happy with everything they put in there? I mean, because I'm sure there were some things that are like, oh, man, I was hoping that was going to make it in the movie.
Good question.
Not really. I think that it turned out very well. I'm not very disappointed in anything.
Good. Yeah, well, you have the director sitting right next to you because you don't want to make him upset.
Don't make him mad.
Tom, when you're working, obviously, the old adage used to be to never work with animals and kids, but he's obviously a very talented case. What is it like, as a director and an accomplished director, what tools do you have to employ when you're working with a lot of kids in a movie?
You know, I would still say it's 80% directing and maybe 20% parenting at times.
Okay.
You just got to think about how I would you talk to my kids or not. And sometimes, you know, you end up on the wrong side of that. It's a lot of work. It's a stressful environment. And but these kids were like pros.
As a director.
A lot of kids. Yeah, because, you know, you got to make the day. There's a lot of pressure on that. And Winslow could handle it.
Like, do you have like a writing crop like Otto Preminger?
There's no striking happening on this. No, it's Disney, for goodness sakes.
Of course.
I had a fluffy crop.
Yeah.
A fluffy bright green crop.
Disney just nails it. And a lot of times, like I was telling Casey about the movie Togo on Disney Plus, which is sensational.
Yeah.
But with this, you're also working with a CGI polar bear. Now, I would always loved, I have always wanted to hug a polar bear, but I fully know they'd rip me to shreds. So what's it like working with a CGI creation as your co-character or partner in this movie?
Well, instead of just having a tennis ball on a stick,
right,
as what I'm acting off of, they had a guy like in a 9-foot kind of suit.
Oh, really?
Who mastered the, you know, mannerisms of a polar bear and would walk around in 90-degree Portland weather.
Wow.
It was also there for the editing team to kind of add their editing things later, but yeah, I think he did a very good job just for me to act off of him.
It's got to be good for you as an actor, and so young, obviously you're possessed of an otherworldly capability, but to have something to react to, because as you mentioned, a lot of times these things are just basically a tennis ball on a stick, but you can react to this. And so did you get to hug the suit and all that stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did.
Yeah. I mean, that's all I want to do.
Winslow, what time of year was this filming? Was it during the school year or over the summer?
It was over the summer.
Okay. So you didn't have to do tutoring or anything while you were on set?
Yeah, but I also didn't have a summer.
Yeah, it's
wow. Poor guy had to go make and star in a movie for his summer.
Yeah.
Gee, our heart bleeds for you, kid.
And there you have Tom whipping you with that writing crop.
I know.
We've done it. We've been on a few sets filming before, and our favorite part is actually the food, because the catering is outstanding. Did you get to eat whatever you wanted to while you were there?
Yep.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Well, nice. You shot in Portland.
Yes.
Right, so obviously that's a character in and of itself, and then you have sort of there's a sort of a quasi hippie community. Anyone who's seen Portlandia or has actually been knows. How did they react to the filming going on?
They were great, incredibly supportive. You know, we set the story there because we figured it needed to be a place where a kid could have a polar bear and no one would bat an eye. Portland felt like one of those communities.
Yeah, it's probably one of the few.
But man, it's a beautiful place and a wonderful place to film. We all had a great time there, and it's shot all on location there. A little bit in Vancouver too, the interiors, but mostly on the mean streets of Portland, as we like to say.
Now, the reaction's been very good, so I have to imagine, since this is part of a series, are there plans already in the works for sequels?
Plans are in the works.
All right.
You're breaking that here.
There we go. We got an exclusive.
Some other great people in the film, Craig Robinson.
Terrific.
Is one of our favorites. He had to have been fun to be on set
with. Super great. It's cool because he sort of plays it straight in a really wonderful way. He's one of these people who comes into Timmy's life and really gives him just enough guidance at the right time.
Now, it says here, Mr. Jenkins, I'm not familiar with the characters. What type of characters?
Jenkins
is
sort of like a guidance counselor.
Okay.
Timmy keeps getting in trouble in school. His teacher is Wallace Shawn, who we all adore. And Wally and Timmy don't get along very well.
So really?
Going to see Jenkins.
So who's playing your mama? Is it Ophelia Lovey Bond? Is that her name?
Yeah. How about that name?
That's a wild name. But and she's sort of like she's a single mom, but she's sort of like she's sort of a free spirit in her own right. Right.
A little rock
and
roll in her. Yeah.
Right. 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 So with this, and obviously, you know, the success of the movie, this is maybe the third or fourth. Did you do Rough Night, the movie with Scarlett Johansson as well?
Yeah, but those were all very like small roles,
small scenes.
So this is really just—it's
the biggest
kind of
thing.
My first, it's my first movie, really. So this is a pretty big deal for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really,
are you taking lunches now and doing the meetings?
Yeah, he won't even take my calls. Angry about it. Yeah, I mean, it's incredible how quickly they just catapult off you.
That's it. You're run and done.
Now, you guys both have a couple of things coming down the pike. Winslow, you actually have a movie, I think it's coming out this year, When the Moon Was Twice as Big. You're working with your brother in this one?
Yes, our scenes were separate, though, and that was probably the first movie I did. Technically, that is another movie that I did. But, okay. But that was when I was about six, and it hasn't come out.
Oh, okay. So you have two siblings?
Yes.
And yeah. They both act as well?
Yes.
Have they done anything as big as this?
Well, my brother, he was just recently in The Goldfinch. He played Theo.
Okay. So that's substantial.
Very good actor.
He was in
Pete's Dragon
as Pete.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
He was in a couple big things. My sister does a lot of theater.
Theater.
Don't say it like you're judging it.
Theater. I'm not.
Yeah, you hear that
I'm
score?
Not.
God, you've changed.
Tom, I hate to tell you this, but Winslow has a directing deal already.
It's incredible.
He's surpassed.
Yeah, with that hair. He gets away with it because of the hair, doesn't he?
But, Tom, you have a couple of things coming down the pike as well, and I wanted to ask you about something that's in production right now. But Preston and I both listened to S-Town, and it looks like it maybe is going to be turned into a movie.
Yeah, we're working on that now with Brian Reed and a new writer in New York on that.
Yeah, so for people who don't know, it was like a podcast story. Yeah. It's a true story about this town in Alabama, right?
Yes.
And it's crazy how this thing turns out because it starts as one story and sort of turns into another one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And these characters are real people. And it's a very, very riveting podcast. So I would love to see this, on the big screen.
Doing our best.
Yeah. Series or film?
Film.
Okay.
So, Tom, with you and with all that you do, obviously it's good to have all those tools in your toolbox, as they say.
Swiss Army knife. I've never been called that before.
but which is there one that exclusively brings you just a percentage more pleasure when you do it?
No. What I like is the variety, right?
Okay.
I still act when I can. I don't have as much time for it. I love the writing process and the research that goes into writing. But, you know, being on a set and collaborating with actors and your, fellow cinematographer and production design, it's super fun. And, like, to make a movie like this, the great thing about this movie, although it's grounded in a very real story, it's got this sort of all these fantastical elements which
we go to
get and create. And some of those are really fun and just funny. And so we all had a blast making it. And, we feel lucky that that Disney's still willing to kind of take chances with films like this.
They do it, and they do it again. Yeah. Like I say with Togo, which is a classic animal Disney thing, and oh my God, they delivered it again.
Yeah.
There's just something, some sort of.
They're very good about deciding, okay, we're going to do this, and they put all their energy into it. And Timmy's a kooky story, and that's why people are really connecting with it, because it's different, it's original, and I think kudos to Disney Plus for making it happen.
Winslow, what's a project or a book or a movie or something that you would like to see brought to the screen with you in it?
Timmy 2. Buddy, God, he teed you up for that one. Everybody at Disney was leaning into their radios at that moment.
How about 2 Timmy 2 Furious?
Yeah, a little bit more of that.
Yeah, yeah. Is there anything that you like? I know you play Minecraft. You're a big video gamer, right?
Yeah, when I have time.
All right, so there was word that there was going to be a Minecraft movie for a while. Would that be something that you, like a video game to movie?
Maybe.
Okay. All right.
But, he mainly just has his mind on theater right now. That's what he wants to be on.
But I've always wanted to play Michael Scott's son.
Oh, okay. So,
really?
Working with Craig Robinson had to be cool.
Yeah, that was really awesome. I was looking at the cast photos at the table read.
That would be hilarious, young Michael Scott.
I know.
Yeah.
not young Michael Scott, just his son.
Yeah.
So that would be cool. Yeah. In fact, Tom, worked with Michael Scott's wife from The Office, right?
Yeah, way back when. We went to school together. We were in a comedy troupe together. Nancy Carell.
Yeah, she's great.
I was talking about Amy Ryan.
I thought you were talking about Steve's real wife.
No,
I'm like, he really did your research.
Casey, take the credit.
Good man. I'm going to take credit, but I was talking about both.
Amy Ryan, we worked on The Wire together, And what else?
Jacko's Boating.
Jacko's Betting, directed by the late, great Phil Hoffman, who we dearly miss. Yeah, and then we were on The Wire together, but we never actually, we didn't, our characters never crossed. But Amy's a terrific actress. Oh, and she was in Win-Win, a movie I wrote and directed. Jeez. Did you leave that off the list? Here we are. Here we are crediting you.
Well, I'm trying to figure, we had Amy in studio, and I couldn't remember which movie she was here promoting, because I could have sworn we had you in studio before
I have been here. I have been here.
Was it for Spotlight?
I might have been for Spotlight or for Win-Win or The Visitor. I can't remember. I know I've been here a number of times.
Yeah,
you can't come to Philly and not come here. Come on.
It's part and parcel. Yeah. So, yeah. But so right now after this, and you're on this tour, how long does this tour go on? Do you get to go back home? Is home still here? Is Allentown still where you live?
Yeah. I'm still growing up in Allentown, but I think...
You're 11. Of course you're still growing up.
He's still growing up.
But
the studio said no. We're putting an end to that.
Stop it. Let him go.
Yeah. Go ahead. Finish, buddy. Sorry.
So do you like Allentown?
Yeah. Yeah, I like Allentown.
Okay.
We'll get you tickets to Dorney Park if you want, man. We know all the people.
We know people.
What do you do for fun when you're not doing theater?
I dance. I break dance.
Do you really?
Yeah.
And you tap dance as well. Like you go to what?
I tap dance.
The school school you go to is
it's called. I go to a Waldorf school. Yeah.
So is it? And are there a lot of training for the arts and things of that nature in that school?
Yes.
Okay. Very. Yes. So you can break dance.
I can break dance. I play the piano and I play the cello.
Wow. You're far more accomplished than we are.
Yeah, me too.
I really need to bring you home and show my kids
what they could be.
What they could be.
Kids. So, Winslow, do
I'm
kids
sorry.
Should...
Hold on.
I stopped listening at Bring You Home.
I believe yes!
There you go.
Oh, my God.
Kid
what
nailed it.
Winslow?
Now I really need to bring you home.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Winslow knows not to get in a band with somebody.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Don't get in that guy's car.
Stranger danger.
Stranger danger.
Who knew we needed an 11-year-old to shut Casey down?
There's your next movie.
Yeah, yeah. Watch how this interview turns on us now, Winslow.
So there's your next movie, The Room 2.
Yeah. So,
hey, how good did you get on the Segway?
Well, I wasn't actually driving the Segway.
What?
They ran into the street, pushed the button, and it was all remote control. Yeah, I was very disappointed.
Yeah,
mistakes were made there.
but
my mom, or in the movie, yeah, she got to ride the Segway.
Oh, really? Okay, all right. Well, there you go.
I always just was like,
are you going to get one now that you've sort of? I mean, you're going to start making some money, or do you get an allowance?
On Segway.
Yeah.
No, I don't think I'm gonna guess.
Okay, you're going right to the Lambo.
Yep. Yeah.
There you go.
Wow. You've won me over, Kay.
Yeah,
this is just fantastic. All right. So, Timmy Failure, Mistakes Were Made is now available on Disney Plus, and catch it before Winslow just becomes huge.
Yes.
Clearly, that is going to happen. Wow, man. Well, congratulations. We're very, very happy for you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. You and Tom. Thank you guys for coming by and continued success.
Great to be here. Thank you, guys.
Here for Tom McCarthy and Winslow Feigley on the program. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Ah, springtime is in the air early. As we fantasize of riffs and rock outdoors on the lawn. Get set for MMRBQ 2020. Saturday, May 16th at BB&T Pavilion.
Oh, wow. Disturbed. Show you the love.
Royal Blood.
I only love when I love you.
The Pretty Reckless.
Sublime with Rome.
I don't practice.
The best value in rock. 9 bands for just $50. Also appearing,
Puddle of Mud,
Crobot,
Dirty Honey,
Mongolian Metalheads, The Who,
and Jackson's Local Shots opener, Foxtrot and The Get Down.
Saturday, May 16th, BB&T Pavilion. Tickets on sale tomorrow at 9 a.m. from 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
All right, couple of things before we get to the big file. Number one, we have Tattoos Day today. Chance for you to win a Preston Steve tattoo. So text the word tattoo to 39333. We'll grab a winner in a little bit. You may win a $350 gift certificate for world-famous Philadelphia Eddie's tattoo. Now, we have a question about the Dr. Oz show. So we have a $500 Amex gift card to give away. So here we go, and we'll start with caller number 11 to answer this correctly. On yesterday's show, Dr. Oz spoke to Joey Buttafuoco, who became a household name after the infamous Long Island Lolita case. Which well-known actor appeared on the show to discuss the movie he is directing about Joey Buttafuoco's life?
Huh.
215-263-WMMR. All right, let's see if you know the answer. So yesterday, Joey Buttafuoco was on. Which well-known actor appeared on the show to discuss the movie he is directing about Joey Buttafuoco's life? Joey Buttafuoco?
Joey Buttafuoco. It's from a time long, long ago in a galaxy far away. Joey Buttafuoco.
Joey Buttafuoco.
Who's the guy in the black mask?
263 WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. We're going to do the trash. No, we're not.
No!
We're going to do the bizarre file.
Yes!
Bizarre. WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
You see, I usually ask a question right before the trash.
Yeah. Before strong with this one.
I'm doing it with the Bizarre File. Residents in a South Indian apartment got a boozy surprise when they turned on their tap water and smelled a strong mixture of alcohol pouring from their faucets.
Wow.
18 apartment units were affected when alcohol that authorities buried years ago leaked into a nearby well. Joshi Melekal has said, "We were so shocked." He's the owner of the apartment complex. The Times of India reported that residents first discovered problems with their water Sunday afternoon. The water...
So shocked!
The water smelled like liquor, tasted like liquor, and it turned out it was liquor. More than 1,500 gallons of it, the newspaper reported.
What kind of liquor, Preston? Did it say it was like wine or just general?
I don't know.
Yeah,
it was booze of some type. Yeah, exactly, Kath. Families
on tap.
The apartment had used the well for years because it was the only source of potable water.
Potable.
The well has been cleaned 8 times, but residents said they fear that it could take up to a month before it could be operational.
That's crazy.
Local authorities seized the booze from a bar under a court order about 6 years ago. 1,500 gallons were opened and dumped in it in a pit near the bar. Authorities, however, failed to check the area around it. The officials were unaware that there was a well nearby, and the liquid appears to have seeped through the soil and polluted the well water. So they were getting booze on tap for a little while.
That's insane.
A Florida man behind bars finds himself in a familiar place. He was arrested for the 66th time on Wednesday after being on the run since last year.
66 times. Now he's going to turn his life around.
Sarasota deputies say Kaiser Pontoon.
Kaiser Pontoon?
No.
You've got to love that name.
I'd be a criminal, too, if my name was Kaiser Pontoon.
Kaiser Pontoon was arrested for failing to appear. It sounds like a Bond villain, doesn't it? Like a low-rent villain. Was arrested for failing to appear, drug charges, being a felon with a firearm, and
Kaiser Pontoon
for leading officers on a chase. Pontoon is a repeat offender with a rap sheet that not many can say they have. Dozens of arrests from drugs, fleeing, fraud, aggravated assault to grand theft.
How big is his rap sheet?
Reoffending, it's like a CVS.
It's got to be a receipt.
So reoffending, and not many can tell us why it happens. What? Reoffending, and not many can. Anyway, at 28 years old, Pontoon has been arrested more than 5 dozen times. Cases upon cases, and Pontoon has seemed to continue making an appearance on inmate logs. But his story isn't unique. This is apparently happening across the state, but 66.
You can't just float through life, Mr. Pontoon.
Pretty damn high.
See, because pontoons,
it's like flow. A man who was making his way back to Minneapolis to a hotel around 3 a.m. Saturday tried to cross the icy Mississippi River near the Stone Arch Bridge and fell partly through the ice. He told fire crews that rescued him that his Google Maps directed him across the river.
To walk across the river?
Mm-hmm.
Walk across treacherous river.
A fire department spokesman, Brian Tyner, who speculated that the man misinterpreted the direction, should have crossed the bridge instead. He said, "I think that's probably what Google Maps meant."
Yeah, they usually encourage you to use bridges when crossing rivers.
The man who was visiting from out of state had a mild case of hypothermia. A man died after getting stuck in a donation bin outside a Tennessee Walmart.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, authorities were notified on Sunday about the victim who apparently was trapped in the clothing and shoe donation bin.
You had another story like this a while ago.
Oh, yeah, that woman. She crawled all the way inside and stayed for days. This guy, they responded, and they found the lower part of his body was hanging out in the donation bin, so he got stuck in there. The 48-year-old was extricated from the scene and pronounced dead there. No foul play was involved. Yeah,
it seems
up.
Like they're homeless people trying to get some sort of warmth or shelter.
Steal stuff. You know, I don't know. It's hard to say. So do we have to wrap it up there?
Yes, sir.
All right, and there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for now. So the Dr. Oz question. Let's see if we can give away some money and get an answer to this. On yesterday's show, Dr. Oz spoke to Joey Buttafuoco, who became a household name after the infamous Long Island Lolita case. Which well-known actor appeared on the show to discuss the movie he is directing about Joey Buttafuoco's life? We were taking call number 11, 215-263-WMMR. I will go to Michelle for the answer. Hi, Michelle.
Oh, my God. Hello.
Hello. Michelle, what actor was Dr. Oz speaking to that is going to direct the movie about him?
The actor was Joey Buttafuoco, but the TV producer was David Kripp, K-R-I-E-F-F.
No, that is incorrect. Joey Buttafuoco is not the actor, no. So thank you.
No. You said the TV producer.
No, you said the actor.
I said what well-known actor appeared on the show to discuss the movie he is directing about Joey Buttafuoco's life?
Do you have an answer?
But you asked for...
No, my dear. I'm reading directly from the script that I'm supposed to read. What well-known actor appeared on the show to discuss the movie he is directing about Joey Buttafuoco's life?
Did she get to use her lifeline, Preston?
I think she misunderstood.
All right. It's all right. We all do. Right.
Thank you, Michelle.
This is the way we all react to Joey Buttafuoco.
No.
It's all right.
Damn Joey Buttafuoco.
Let me go to Tony, see if he knows. Tony... What actor appeared on the show to discuss a movie he's directing about Joey Buttafuoco's life?
James Brolin.
That's it. James Brolin. You are correct, sir. You can get a... Hang on the line because we got $500 for you. All right, ma'am?
Thank you.
You bet. $500 Amex gift card for Tony. Get a daily dose of the Dr. Oz Show each day. Dr. Oz offers health tips, true crime stories, food investigations, and celebrity interviews. You can watch the Dr. Oz Show weekdays at 2 on Fox 29. On today's Dr. Oz Show, true crime breaking news, doomsday cult mom and new husband found in Hawaii, but where are her missing kids? They'll talk about that today. We'll have a question tomorrow about today's show.
Do you know who they're talking to play Joe Buttafuoco?
No.
Ian McKellen.
Oh, yeah, my God. Yeah.
He's been doing... How do I look at these Cavaricis?
He's been branching out.
Absolutely.
Getting out of his comfort zone.
I run an auto shop over there by Seaford.
Yeah. So maybe they'll talk about that, too.
Absolutely.
All right, we're going to take...
My pager number's 007.
We'll take a break and be right back. Stay with us.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, you know, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We have a Tattoos Day today. If you'd like to win a Preston and Steve tattoo, you need to text the word tattoo to 39333. And our world-famous Philadelphia Eddies. We could set you up with a $350 gift certificate from them. 621 South 4th Street in South Philly. And you could get tattooed by the area's top tattoo artists like Zach Beltran. You can see his work on Instagram at Kutch Beltran, KUTCHBALTRAN, or PhiladelphiaEddiesTattoo.com. So get on that now. We'll be giving away that soon. We have a few things to give away before the show is up. I'm going to do the lesson question in a moment. But also, in music news, two separate concert announcements. Give away tickets to as well. But you got to wait for the information to come out. And then I've got some more Acme Market gift cards, all this stuff. So, I mean, we're on the tail end of the show. There's still a lot left to give away. Let's do that lesson question and give away a four-pack of tickets for the Philly Home and Garden Show, which is this Friday and Saturday, Greater Philadelphia Expo Center at Oaks. The question I think I need to go with today, the fifth movie in the Indiana Jones franchise will feature Indy and the search for what? 215-263-WMMR, okay? The fifth movie in the Indiana Jones franchise will feature Indy and the search for what? 215-263-WMMR. It's from the 7 o'clock hour early this morning, and we're going to do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, let's hear some stories, Steve. What do you have for us this morning?
Well, the rapper known as Rich the Kid being sued by his management, claiming he owes them nearly $4 million. Rich the Kid, believing his managers have a solid case, has preemptively renamed himself Living Paycheck to Paycheck the Kid.
Hey!
RuPaul, one of the celebrities not happy about Eminem's surprise Oscar appearance, saying the rapper often uses a particular homophobic slur in his songs. Eminem fought back, though, against the criticism by open-mouth kissing Billy Porter. And finally, male model Presley Gerber addressing some critics of the new misunderstood face tattoo that we were talking about earlier. Presley admits he has trouble pronouncing misunderstood and can now just point to it. And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All right, we'll see if we can find an answer that we're looking for. The fifth movie in the Indiana Jones franchise will feature Indy and the search for what? So I will go to Donnie for the answer. Good morning, Donnie.
Good morning.
All right, Donnie, the fifth movie in the Indiana Jones franchise will feature Indy and the search for what?
The Blue Llama.
No.
Oh, no. So close.
Not the Blue Llama. Oh, sorry. I've got to make sure we go specific on this. I'm going to go to Sean. Hey, Sean.
Hey.
Indiana Jones will, in the fifth movie, will feature the search for what?
The Blue Emu.
The Blue Emu. Thank you, Sean. Yeah, that's correct. Blue Emu is a salve, essentially, that you can use. It's older people it's marketed towards. Yeah. So that's why we had to go specific on that. All right, Sean got it right.
Everybody on the floor just
pause. And we are going to set you up with a four-pack of tickets for the Philly Home and Garden Show Friday through Saturday at the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center at Oaks. More information and discount tickets, go to PhillyHomeAndGardenShow.com. Casey decided to use Doo-Doo Brown as our winning music today. So.
God, this was like so cool back then.
Doo-Doo Brown. Yeah. All right, let's do music news. Here we go.
Now, Preston and Steve's music news on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah. Brought to you this morning by the Pennsylvania Ear Institute at Salus University, offering quality care for your hearing and balance needs. Their expert audiologist will help you hear your best. For more information, visit salusuhealth.com/PEI. All right, quick concert announcement. MMR rocks Deftones. Saturday, August 22nd, by the way, and they'll be playing the Met, Philadelphia. Tickets go on sale this Friday via Ticketmaster.com. Pre-sale Thursday, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. while supplies last. And there are password. The password and complete details are at WMMR.com. So I can give away a pair of tickets to caller number 5 right now, 215-263-WMMR. For Deftones on Saturday, August 22nd at the Met. And tickets go on sale, like I said, this Friday, 1 p.m., Ticketmaster.com. A pre-sale at 10 a.m. on Thursday. While supplies last, the password and complete details are available at WMMR.com. And you can listen to Jackson all this week because he will have your chance to win tickets. So we'll set up caller number 5. And that is concert announcement number 1. I'm going to move on to some music news stories. So Rage Against the Machine has announced a full 40-date world tour, which is pretty wild because they had, it's been a long time since these guys have been out to play together.
Holy mama!
And it's reuniting Zach De La Roca, Tom Morello, Brad Wilk, and Tim Comerford. It will start in March at several cities along or near the Mexican border before headlining the 2020 installment of Coachella in Indio, California. We knew they were doing that. They're also going to be playing some other arena and festival shows like Firefly Music Festival, but they do have a date in Philadelphia. They're going to be playing at BB&T Pavilion August 7th, by the way. Looking at this info, I don't see any on sale information in front of me, so you will have to look that info up on your own.
I'm sorry, it's on our website, Preston. So tickets go on sale this Thursday, the 13th, okay, at 11 a.m., and you can visit the concert calendar on WMMR.com to get those details. But Thursday, the 13th at 11 a.m.
All right, August 7th in Camden at the BB&T Pavilion. That is Rage Against the Machine. Black Crowes also have announced the Brothers of a Feather Tour. It's a string of winter acoustic shows that are preceding the band's upcoming 30th anniversary summer run. It's reported that the trek will open with two European gigs in London and Amsterdam, and then hit the States starting February 19th. It will be Chris and Rich Robinson.
Clowns never left before. Beanstalks never grew.
Yeah, they're throwing back.
Yeah, they're throwing back.
They're doing some folky stuff, some folky acoustic stuff. And, of course, you know,
that's one of their songs.
That's one of the staples.
So, you know, the brothers, they're kind of their credo.
They're going to be playing The Foundry at the Fillmore on February 21st, by the way.
Already sold out.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It sold out super fast.
There you go. Huh. Well, it's a fairly small room, so that's...
Stand outside. Maybe you can hear it.
Totally get that. Now, speaking of concerts, a petition has been launched to get AC/DC to perform during the halftime show at next year's Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Petition founder Gina DeLeca wrote, "It's been a while since we've had some real metal play the halftime show for the Super Bowl. Don't get me wrong, all music artists have done a great job and should play the show, but we all need a turn." She said, "It's time for some rock and roll, and who better than AC/DC to play? They're coming back together, making a new album and possibly touring again, and this would be perfect. Come together, metalheads, and get this going." They certainly have enough material, you know?
Well, they usually like to pair them up and have a little bit of variety. So I think AC/DC and Robin Thicke. Would that work?
Yeah.
That would work.
The petition, which had just over 3,300 signatures with a goal of 5,000 at press time, has also caught the attention of Twisted Sister frontman Dee Snider, who posted a video on Instagram directing the NFL to NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell.
Now, there's an idea if you were to have a couple of real thundering hair bands, Preston, you know, with like AC/DC and all that. Would it get any traction? Would it mean anything to a lot of people? I think it would, but I don't know. You know, would the NFL go for it?
No, probably not. Yeah.
I mean, 3,300. I mean, even the 5,000 that they're looking for, that's not that many.
Yeah.
It's not that many signatures.
No, I don't know when this petition was released. It might have been 10 minutes after she did that. I don't know.
It's true, yeah.
I have no idea. So yeah,
but you said they're only looking for 5,000 signatures.
Yeah, just to get it,
get
the ball rolling. And sometimes there's a minimum number for, petitions to get to that next step, whatever it may be. But I don't know.
They only have 15 to go.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So the link's on PrestonAndSteve.com and WMMR.com.
All right.
I mean,
that,
honestly,
that puts them on the New Hampshire primary? Or
yes. Yeah.
I wouldn't mind seeing, like, who was it? Motley Crue, Poison, Def Leppard. That would be a good halftime show.
That's what Steve was talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, to do some, you know, a group of them like that. Snider said, did I already say this? Because I lost my place. Did Dee Snider, did I quote him?
You were talking about him. Yeah, I'm just watching the count, and we're about to hit, 5,000.
He said, there are a lot of bands that are stadium-worthy and a lot of bands that have sold hundreds of millions of records, but the one band that I think has such crossover appeal to so many people in all genres is AC/DC. Band is reuniting with a new album. They are going to be touring again, and they would bring down the house. AC/DC will reportedly release a new album this year. I mean, they still sell out.
And
arenas. So.
Their music gets used constantly in arenas.
Loads and loads of not only arenas, but movies as well. So.
Yep.
Green Day's Billy Joe Armstrong admitted in a new interview with NME that plans for a movie based on the band's 2004 punk opera American Idiot have been pretty much scrapped. Following the success of a stage musical based on the album, which opened on Broadway in 2010 and ran for more than a year, it was announced in 2011 that a film version of the musical was in the works. By 2016, it was said to be development at HBO, or in development at HBO. Little has been heard about the project until now, with Armstrong revealing that it is no longer moving forward. American Idiot was one of Green Day's most successful albums, selling 16 million copies worldwide, winning a Grammy for Best Rock Album and spawning five hit singles, in addition to the Broadway musical and other stage productions. Their new album is coming out, or just arrived this last Friday, Father of All, Mother Effers. Did they ever play Halftime?
Yeah, I think they did.
Didn't they? It's hard to remember. But they're another band that could do it.
They could.
Or maybe they already did it.
Yeah.
I don't remember. Nick's looking that information up. We'll see.
I believe they did.
I mean, they just did the All-Star game for NHL.
And they're easily confused.
No, yep. CeeLo Green, but not Green Day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's where
they could do it.
Yeah.
Limp Bizkit frontman Fred Durst. And I need to, I forgot, I meant to go look up the damn list and I didn't do it, has been nominated for a 2020 Golden Raspberry Award or the Razzies. So the nominations came out. I haven't seen him yet.
What, for the fan?
The Fanatic.
Okay.
The John Travolta movie.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The Razzies were started in 1981 to dishonor the bottom of the barrel in film during the past year.
They usually coincide literally with the night of the Oscars. This is late.
Durst is nominated alongside James Franco for Zeroville, Adrian Grunberg for Rambo Last Blood, Tom Hooper for Cats, and Neil Marshall for Hellboy.
So for directing.
Durst. And this category is for, directing.
So. Ding, dirty, dirty Durst.
Yeah. And one last thing. This is a concert announcement. It's a tribute band. And unfortunately, with the passing of Neil Peart, we're never going to see Rush again.
No.
But there's a really great tribute band called Lotus Land. And they are going to be playing the Keswick Theater on Saturday, July 18th. I've never seen them live. I've talked to many people who have and said they're amazing. I have seen videos of them, and they sound just like the Frick.
Do they? Yeah.
Yes, they do.
That's a lot to handle.
It is, but they pull it off. I saw them doing the prelude of Hemispheres, which is this big complex piece of music, and a lot of it is instrumental. I'm like, okay, they can do that. There's a lot of people that can do Rush instrumentally perfectly, but the key is getting a vocal like Getty. And not only does the dude sing like Getty, he looks like Getty, too.
So what about the Neil Peart stuff? Do they pull that off as well?
Yeah, the drummer can do it. Absolutely. So they're really great. Saturday, July 18th at the Keswick Theater. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. via AXS.com. And I'll take caller number 9 and give you a pair of tickets right now, 215-263-WMMR. So if you'd like to see the tribute band, Lotus Land will give you those tickets, and July 18th, Keswick Theater is when that is. All right, and with that, we're done with music news.
Yay!
And we're going to take a quick break, come back in a second, get ready to wrap up the whole show, Letter of the Day, Word of the Week, and more. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve's Cardboard Classic from 93.3 WMMR and Pacifico Beer. Friday, March 6th at Jack Frost Mountain, where the snow comes first. The sled-deemed best design scores a $2,000 cash prize. The best Live Live Anchors Up theme scores $500 and beer for a year from Pacifico. Sprint has $500 for the fastest sled. There's $300 for the coolest Jose Cuervo themed sled. And somewhat of a gag gift for Preston and Steve's favorite fail. Mandatory sled registration through March 1st at WMMR.com. For the MMR VIP lift ticket pre-sale, the sooner you buy, the less you pay. Through February 23rd, lift tickets are just $10 while supplies last at WMMR.com. Preston and Steve's Cardboard Classic at Jack Frost Mountain.
Sponsored by Chorus Photography and Sprint. Brighter future for all.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Marissa was just telling us that was her most memorable live in studio performance ever on the Preston and Steve show. Because when they were playing Cold Hard Bitch, the lead singer forgot the words to the song.
Right.
And one of our interns very quickly pulled up the lyrics on the in-studio monitors that we have here.
That's right.
So they could see. It was pretty damn funny, but they stopped and they started the whole song over again.
It's great.
Yep. So, memories. We are about ready to wrap up, and we formed some new memories today. And we had this kid named Winslow by Winslow Fegley, who is the star of the film on Disney Plus called Timmy Failure, Mistakes Were Made. And he plays Timmy Failure. And he was along with the director, Tom McCarthy, who's been here before. And Winslow was great.
He was.
He is.
He's got the gift.
He's an old soul.
Yeah.
You could tell.
Absolutely, for 11 years old.
And he had a very funny line with Casey that we all got a real good, just a kick out of completely. So, but it was nice to have them by. That is available now on Disney Plus. So feel free to watch. And I need to congratulate somebody because today is Tattoos Day.
Ooh.
And yeah, we got a winner. We got a winner of a Preston and Steve tattoo. And it just so happens to be Nate Holcomb, who is from Westchester, Pennsylvania.
You get a tattoo.
He gets a $350 gift certificate for world-famous Philadelphia Eddie's Tattoo. And you can find them at 621 South 4th Street in South Philadelphia. Check out Zach Beltran's work. You can see it on Instagram at Kutch Beltran, which is K-U-T-C-H-B-E-L-T-R-A-N, or PhiladelphiaEddiesTattoo.com. We'll do another one next week. How about that?
I love it.
Let me see. I guess we need to do, we've thanked everybody. We've given that away. And now we need to get the letter from the one and only Mr. Pierre Robert, if he is indeed ready to go. You all set, man?
Born.
Ready.
Born.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
O as in open.
All right. O as in open. And a $500 Steven Singer gift card is what we got for you. You can get one of Steven Singer's popular, fully dipped classic gold roses for Valentine's Day, starting at just $69 and only at IHateStevenSinger.com. So we'll give that away on Friday. How you doing today, man?
Great.
Wonderful. Thanks for
being here. I wanted to tell you what a great conversation you guys had yesterday with Rob McElhenney.
Oh.
It's so clear. It speaks to the value of supporting someone and some artistic concept, whether it be an acting project or a TV show or a band, when they're young.
Right.
And following it all the way through and how much they appreciate that. Bon Jovi never forgot that. We played them right from the beginning, you know, and I loved it when he said, you know, he resisted going on talk shows, you know, and was finally on Colbert and stuff. But they you guys had him on in the beginning.
Right.
You know,
and he never forgot.
And never forgot that.
The reason we had him on initially was the show was called It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Right. And so people reached out and said, hey, this show is going to be on FX and you might want to be interested in it. And we were. And we reached out to him because he's from the area and he was gracious enough to come on. But years ago, Casey had a line, which I've never forgotten, which was that the show could be called It's Always Sunny in Detroit or Always Sunny in Portland. But we'd keep watching it because that's how well written it is and how funny it is. So we kind of lucked out in that relationship, but also we're happy about that relationship. You know, it's one of those things where it did start early on, and we were champions of it from the beginning, and I'm proud of that. I like that friendship.
And we've reached out and assisted people who have kind of didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're hoping
talentless people.
No, hoping, like the Delco Proper guys. I mean, we were really pulling for them.
Oh, yeah. God, that would have been great.
Just didn't quite take off the way, but we enjoyed it.
Yeah, and they're talented guys. They'll do stuff. They are doing stuff, yeah.
Yeah, but think about it. It's the same thing with music, though. Look at how many bands MMR has invested in over the years. You know, some of them made it huge. Some of them did okay. Some of them didn't. You know, so, I mean, it's part of the game.
Yep.
But, you know, good for you for doing that.
Thank you.
All right.
I appreciate it, man. Yeah. What is happening on the program today?
Well, we've got some birthdays. David Asikinen of the Hooters is having a birthday. We will do a block of the Hooters. Mike Shinoda of Linkin Park. We will do a block of Linkin Park. And a big block on a cloudy and wet day of Tool, which I think will be perfect. Mm. Plus, we have more tickets for live next Thursday at Parks Casino and a meet and greet with the band.
Right. Nice. Very nice. Before I do the thank yous and see what's coming up tomorrow, I have one last $50 gift card for Acme to give away.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We'll take caller number 20. Valentine's Day is on Friday, right? And if you forgot to order your flowers or you don't want to spend crazy money at the last minute, let Acme help you out. They have a full-service floral department for custom-made arrangements and premium bouquets, so they'll pull you out of the fire. Caller number 20, you get a $50 Acme gift card, 215-263-WMMR. Thank you to the sponsor of the Preston and Steve Show. It has been brought to you today by the Aviation Institute of Maintenance. You can call today and start training tomorrow. Call 888-FIX-JETS. Tomorrow, we go on Fox Good Day, and we will have on this program the Super Nanny.
Super Nanny!
Joe Frost will be getting in touch with us tomorrow, so that'll be nice. Really? Those things and more. That's it. We are done. Rage on, and have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, guys. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
I go to sleep, it's raining. I wake up, it's raining. All week, it's raining. Why the f*** does it have to be raining? It's supposed to be f***ing snow!
Next message.
Hello, Annabelle. You're going to be my regular Saturday night thing.
Next message.
Hi, welcome, and good morning. Where the f*** is the snow? Bring on the snow!
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.